Thanks, Dave. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff. Wendy Snyder has the day off. Look who's filling in for Wendy. It's Jim Toronto.
Oh.
Jim, how are you?
I'm excited to be back with you, Bill. It's been a while. We always have fun. And I was sad and kind of laughing at your...
You were sad but laughing.
At your injury.
It's how you handle sadness.
Yeah, I do. I
we
always
all
try
handle
to find,
it differently.
Find the rainbow
sure.
amongst the
sure.
the storm.
You're like Mr. Skittle, always looking for the rainbow.
Well, I looked at you with your injury.
I have a cast on.
And, well, you have a walking boot.
Yes.
That's what we call it.
It's made for walking. This boot is made for walking.
And that's just what you'll do.
Yep.
And one of these days...
You're going to walk all over me.
Okay. Well, the funny thing was I had not a similar injury, but I wore a boot for about 4 weeks, about a year and a half ago. I had a very serious Achilles tendon injury. And so I was actually going to bring in my boot.
Oh, to just
to be simpatico and sort of,
sure.
and I was going to put it on and wear it as well so that we could really.
Andy Mazur himself just coming off a leg injury.
Ah, what did you have, Andy?
Did I have a leg injury?
Yeah,
that I don't know about.
Well,
yeah,
just
it was.
Pretend
yeah, it was a calf thing. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was
mine
a calf.
Too.
The calf was missing its mother, so it hurt me very badly.
Hi-oh.
Yeah, a little calf strain.
Was it your gastrocnemius muscle?
I don't think.
Aren't
so.
Aren't they at Lollapalooza this year?
They're going to perform.
And lactic acid is opening up, right?
Yeah, that's okay. A great combo, right,
cool.
Isn't it?
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So I hurt this 3 weeks ago, and then I was just on vacation. We went to Maine.
And I had the same thing. I went on vacation as soon as I had this boot.
It's the best thing you could possibly do.
Oh, you're on the planes.
It's
you're in
be
the
somewhere.
Airport. You're
yeah.
walking.
Walking,
oh,
walking.
It's
yeah.
the worst.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask a question, and Andy, I'm going to ask you because
yes.
Jim's already in on this.
Okay.
I don't know if everyone handles this when they're on vacation, but we don't watch TV at all. We have kind of a rule, my wife and I, when we're on vacation, that the TV remains off.
Really?
So we were in
what
Maine
kind of
for
vacation
5 days.
Is that?
Yeah. No TV.
Wow, does that sound
we
terrible.
Were also in a place in Maine where we couldn't get any kind of cell reception, so the phones were down. So I had no access to the internet.
Is
no
this
access
Maine
to
in the
television.
United States?
Yeah, Maine is way up north
How
in the United
could you
States.
Not?
So news-wise, unless it's a story about seafood, they just don't talk about it, or a bear. If there's a bear or a lobster in the story.
Or butter, because it's related to
right,
lobster.
Right.
There's a butter strike.
People will chime in on it. And, can you believe what's going on with the butter? And then they'll talk about
what
it.
What do you mean, no butter?
Right. So
I won't put margarine on my lobster.
So whatever happened in the last 4 or 5 days is news to me.
Okay.
So we were in our office, and everybody's going, how about Patrick Sharp?
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
But I didn't know what they were talking about.
Really?
Patrick Sharp is once again a member of the Blackhawks?
He
Black
is a member of the Chicago Blackhawks.
I had no idea. Sunday, when did this take place?
This took place a couple days ago.
I hear they're all, so now they brought back
Sod.
Sod.
Yeah.
I hear Bobby Hull's coming back.
Bobby Hull will be back
the
with
Golden
the Hawks
Jet
this year.
Will be, yeah,
Antonio is going to be the backup goalie.
They're spending a lot of time right now taking down banners. Mary Bannerman might be back as well. Because they have retired numbers,
they're going
to have to end retirement if you're going to play.
It,
right?
Is it true that Quenneville just hired Billy Ray,
Tommy
the
Iman,
former coach? Yeah, yeah from yeah. the '70s. Yeah.
Wow,
that'll
exactly.
be great news. All right, so Patrick Sharp is back. That's
well, they're
going to
play at the stadium next year too.
Wow.
Do you know if he's going to have? I have a vested interest. It was funny because I was going through my closet the other day. This is so ironic, and I have. I don't know if it was a giveaway from here a few years ago.
Yeah.
But I have a Patrick Sharp jersey.
Right.
So this is before all the hubbub, but he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this and I said, you know, this is why.
It's an omen.
You don't.
Save it.
Well, this is, but my point is, I didn't buy it, but I say, you know, for these people, sometimes they buy their favorite current player.
Right.
And then they get traded.
Yep. Right.
And then they go to the game with that on and you're like, okay, where are you going?
Right.
That's why I always get Tony Esposito or Bobby Hull.
It's solid
Can't
forever.
Go wrong.
Yeah. But that's my favorite game at Cubs games. Is to see
as to who has the older
ones. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah. So my point was, I see this and I go, huh, you know, well, good thing I didn't pay for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now my question is, do you know, will he be the same number? So
I'm pretty sure
will those
he will
Patrick
be, yeah.
Sharp people
I think
who
so.
Have their original jerseys, now it'll be relevant.
Yeah, because he was number 10 in Dallas as well.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Nobody had the number 10 last
right.
Last year.
Okay,
for
good. So
unless they sign Bo Derek between now mm-hmm. and the beginning of the season.
Or Ron Santo.
Yeah. Or Ron Santo.
They might come back.
That would be a nice surprise.
And I believe for the Sod fans out there as well, I think he's going to probably down
He'll
number
get his
20
old
again.
Number.
Yeah.
Will he get his number? Did
I'm
anybody
pretty sure.
have that?
I don't think anybody had that either.
I don't remember any other team in any sport being so open to the idea of bringing back guys from
yeah, I mean,
a couple
Campbell
of years ago.
Last year.
Well,
yeah.
Johnny Oduya last
yeah.
year. Christopher Stieg.
They're very open
back.
To that. I
yeah.
like that.
even back in the day, Nikolai Habibulin.
Right.
Came back a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. Right. The goalie.
And if you go way back, Dennis Savard.
Yeah, he had a couple different
games. That's true. He came back after he won the cup. Career.
Yeah.
Right. All right, so that was the first story.
And Dennis DeJordy.
That's another fine example. All right, so I didn't know anything about Patrick Sharp coming back. Mm-hmm. That's very good news that I just got a few moments ago. Now, the other one is, and I only know little bits and pieces. I'm sure everyone in town was talking about this.
Trump is president. Did you hear that?
No, I heard about that, but I know that's not true. Okay. I know that that couldn't have happened.
Can't be, right?
No way. That you guys are messing with me there. All right. The other one is Miguel Montero of the Cubs, no longer a Cub.
Correct.
Because he criticized one of the guys.
Oh, you didn't even know about him getting cut?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know he said something about Jake Arrieta letting too many guys steal bases. Yeah. And then I came back and they go, no, he's no longer with the team.
Well, there was a game in Washington last week where the Nationals stole seven bases.
Oh, that's a lot.
Cubs lost the game. Now, usually, stolen base, a lot of people these days feel that that's an overrated thing. It doesn't usually lead to runs or wins. The percentages are pretty low. But
there's no more Lou Brocks.
No, there's no more Tim Raines or guys like Ricky Henderson's that are going to run at every chance. But so Miguel, after the game, basically said he wasn't going to blame himself. He didn't get much help from Arrieta holding on base runners, and he's slow to the plate, and it's easy to take advantage of that and run. So, at face value, it was because of the comments that he made in the media afterwards. You have to think a little deeper into this one and think this might not be an isolated kind of a thing where there's things going on in the clubhouse that, of course, we're not privy to.
But he's the same guy who last year, after the Cubs won the World Series, thought he should have played more. I didn't like my role. Yeah. I really should have been more of a factor. Yeah.
Although, wasn't he also instrumental, though? He hit a couple of major home runs.
He hit the Grand Slam in the National League Championship Series. And if you think about it, his single in the 10th inning provided the winning run.
Very important.
Now, here's the one thing that I was, and I'm interested to have your take on this, Andy, as well. Bill, if you want to join in.
No, I'm sleeping. I'm taking a nap, but go ahead.
Because you haven't heard any of this.
Right.
You're oblivious.
This is all
oblivious.
I mean, this is crazy. Every bit of this.
So here's what really angered me about this. I'm sure that there were other things, as you're saying, and they were probably looking to unload him. He also makes a lot of money. So this didn't help him. But what I didn't like was Joe Maddon's comment afterwards. Epstein said we have to cut him because he's not a good teammate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll buy that. What I didn't like was Joe Maddon's comment was, there's a lot of young players in that locker room.
Yeah.
And when an older guy, he's only 33, but I know that's
old veteran, in baseball terms.
Yeah. When an older guy or a veteran says negative things like that, these young players, it's hard for them to process that. And I don't know if they'll be able to get over it.
Is that true, Andy? Is it hard for young players to process this?
And to me, that was just a coddling kind of, they're not used to being, criticized.
Right.
And those poor little kids, it's like I'm thinking of like Mickey Lolich going, what?
Right. These are adults.
You say what you want to say about your teammate and you move on. And now we're like,
true or not true?
Times are different, obviously.
But didn't he say that? That was kind of the gist of what he was saying.
He did allude to that. And I think there was more of a prevailing attitude that you don't want the younger players to develop and think that it's okay. There's a certain way of doing business now in this Cubs clubhouse. It's different than in years past with the fact that there's a certain way that these guys are taught to play from the minor league levels all the way to the big leagues, and it's taught the same way at each step, single A, double A, triple A, and then get to the big leagues.
It's the Cubs way.
Yeah, it's the Cubs way, and I think it's a situation now where I think the emphasis is on keeping things in-house to police your own self, not to air grievances, so to speak, in the media. And it's interesting we're talking about Miguel Montero because there's just some news coming through on him that the Cubs have actually dealt him now to the Toronto Blue Jays for either a player to be named later or cash considerations. They'll have to decide on that later. So
now, how are their pitchers? Can they hold guys on first base?
It's the American League. It's a hitter's league. It's not usually a running league, but but that's the case. But again, I think that there's always been it's like Las Vegas in baseball parlances, where what goes on in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And when a player goes out of his way to air those things in the media, It rankles people, and there's leadership. I mean, there's certain ways of going about business in a major league clubhouse.
Is some of this born out of the frustration that at the midway point in the season they're exactly 500?
No doubt.
And they did also intimate that they did, I guess, management, Epstein and Jed Hoyer, they did talk to a lot of players to get their take. Is this going to cause a problem?
Really?
And based on that input, they didn't know one player came out. Arrieta, however, said, you know what? I understand his frustration. Yeah.
I love the guy.
I love him, and I don't think I have any problems. He even actually said, I would have been able to stay in the clubhouse with him, and that was the guy he attacked. So it's an interesting thing as to where the kind of thing like, this might not be a good element. Was it management? Was it the players? Was it a mix?
Well, this is why I think that there have been other instances of things, maybe even in the clubhouse with Miguel. A lovable guy. I mean, a likable guy that really looks like he has fun when he's out there. And again, he had a couple of really huge hits for the Cubs in the playoffs last season. You know, you have to take everybody's, you know, good things and the bad things about everybody. You have to kind of equally weigh them.
You take the good, you take the bad,
you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
The facts of life
are that Miguel Montero is now a Toronto Blue Jay.
I'm here with Tootie today.
It's us, it's Jim
with
and
Blair and
can
Joe.
Can I be Blair?
Yeah.
I'll just be Joe.
Whatever you want.
I'll be Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah.
You bend over backwards. You really do. All right, let's take a quick break.
Natalie was very underrated, too, by the way.
Thank you for clearing this up. And,
no problem.
If there's other big stories that I missed in the last 5 days, by all means.
We'll catch you up.
DeSoto just discovered the Mississippi.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Well, you knew that was going to happen eventually. It's Bill F. It's Jim Toronto filling in for Wendy Snyder. That's Andy Mazur. And you know your own names, don't you? We're 312-981-7200 if you want to call us or text us. It's Bill and Jim on WGN. Bill F., it's Jim Toronto. The timing on having you here is great because I guess most people know this, but you are featured quite prominently in the Sports Illustrated body issue.
Yes.
So congratulations for that.
You know, I actually can give myself a little plug. I am, there's a story in the new Ravinia magazine that I wrote.
Oh, there is? Yeah, what's it about?
Diana Krall, the jazz pianist.
Yeah.
She was just there last week, but if you go to Ravinia for the next couple of weeks, you will see. It was a cover story last week when she was there. I think they change the cover every week. But I think my story will be there until the end of next week or so.
Congratulations.
So pick up the it's free at the park at the Ravinia magazine, and you'll see my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I go by James.
Oh, that sounds...
When I write, I go by James.
That sounds so much more official, Jim.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. I will be of a different mindset when I read it, and I will refer to myself as William when reading
Very
the
nice.
Article.
Well, yeah. I always think in print. Right, Andrew?
Yes, sir, James.
So much better. So much better. Now, I just did a read for this Chicago Summer Blast with the 4th of July fireworks in the town that we were just in Maine, and in a lot of places now.
Lived a man who sailed the sea.
Right. They do their fireworks on July the 3rd.
Well, we used to do that here.
Yeah.
If you remember, that Chicago used to be on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. Made absolutely no sense.
I don't understand
why.
It
was always a Taste of Chicago.
Yeah.
And they always did it on the 3rd. And I'm like, hello? It's 4th of – it's in the title.
Right.
4th of July. And
right.
We always did it on the 3rd. I don't know why they did it. And they were always very disappointing. You turn on the TV on 4th of July, you look at New York, and they've got barges off, and they're exploding. It looks like it looks like that Billy
it's
Joel
nonstop.
Song.
It's nonstop.
And here, there was like four Roman candles.
A snake.
And a punk.
Right. Some snapping pops.
And then 1 year, there was like some potential gang problem, so they just shut
they
it off at 10 after 9.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, we back to regular programming.
I can understand if the 3rd is on a weekend and the 4th is like a Monday, then maybe you go, it makes a little more sense to do it on the 4th.
I hated that.
On the 3rd. But I don't know. Like, everyone in town was so excited. Are you staying for the 3rd? No, we're leaving. But it's the 4th you want to stay for. You don't want to stay for the 3rd, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm looking at
it. Well, up in Maine, obviously, as you just said, no cell service.
Yeah.
There's no. So why would they even get that right?
You're
then?
Very isolated. You've been to this
I've been
area
to, what is
in
it,
Maine.
Quadalcunkpunk or something?
It's Ogonquin. What did you call it?
Quadalcunkpunk.
That's the Indian chief who first settled the area.
I thought it was
a statue to him.
It was so ironic that that you were, when we talked about this a couple times when I was on, because I figured no one ever heard of Quadalcunkpunk, and you said you go there.
We go there
all the time.
Every year. My wife and I have been going for about 25 years.
Wow.
And it's.
We stayed at the Cliff's House. The Cliff House?
The Cliff House, I know it well.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
All right. So this town is made up. Have you been there, Andy?
I have not been there.
In your head, when you think about what Maine would look like,
lighthouses.
Oh yeah,
lighthouses
everywhere. It's got the rocky. It's like a Barry Manilow song.
Yes,
long rocky beaches and you by the bay.
Weekend in New England.
It looks like a movie set. Like if they were going to do a movie about Maine, you go, well, it can't really look like this. It can't, but
it does.
That town looks like that.
It is. It's really
cool. It's all built on hills and cliffs and stuff like that. It's just it's so beautiful.
And what's really neat, like at this cliff house place, what's so cool is that the way the tide comes in.
Yeah.
At certain times of the day, you can walk down into these rocks off the beach and stand there, and then 4 hours later, you would have drowned if you were in that same spot.
Right.
The water comes in.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I loved about that, we went to Maine before we went to Cape Cod, which was a couple of years ago. So when I go to Maine, I see these lighthouses like you're talking about. So I'm like, I love that whole look.
Stunning.
Yeah. So I get to Cape Cod, and I'm like, lighthouses?
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Haven't seen them in a while. Very disappointed in the Cape Cod. They're stumpy.
Ah.
I like a good tall red or white lighthouse out like on an isthmus.
Right.
And so I'm driving and
Merry isthmus, Andy, if I forget to tell you.
An isthmus, of course, is a part of land covered by what, two parts? Of
three. I think three sides. Peninsula. Oh, maybe.
Isthmus is two.
Yeah, maybe.
Peninsula is three. Don't talk to me about my geographical terms.
I'm sorry.
That and an old TV. But I was like, so I'm driving around. I said, where's a lighthouse? And he goes, oh, well, there's one in Chatham.
Yeah.
You've got to see the lighthouse in Chatham.
Yeah.
So we drive, because we were in P-Town, Provincetown. So we go to Chatham, and I go there, and there's this stumpy little white thing. And I'm like, where's my big, giant lighthouse?
Well, size doesn't matter, Jim. You know, I hope you
understand.
Well, I heard that
girth is important, but at the same time,
I like... You want a thick lighthouse, but you obviously want a thick and tall lighthouse.
Yes, I want a stereotypical lighthouse, and I was a little disappointed in the Cape Cod stumpy lighthouse.
Did you say anything at the Chamber of Commerce? Did you go in and just say, this is ridiculous?
Well, I did, and they kicked me out, and I can't even go back there again.
If you're going to build a lighthouse... Make it like the ones in paintings.
Now, the
please.
Coolest thing was we went to Area Hyannis.
Yes.
We have JFK.
The Kennedy
we
family.
We saw the
Area
Kennedy
from.
House there.
Right.
The coolest thing, they've got obviously a Kennedy Museum. You always see these statues of prominent people, and they're always in these very regal poses, pointing.
Right.
And looking out to the future.
The Kennedy statue is John F. Kennedy looking down a woman's shirt.
Which is
it's accurate.
And also, and poking his brother.
Right. Teddy, check this. You got to see this. You got to see this.
Well, the weird thing at Chappaquiddick is there's a statue of Teddy. It's just from the eyes up.
I knew when you started that would be dangerous. I didn't know how dangerous for you.
But it's so great. The JFK Museum in Hyannis.
Yeah.
Outside of it, it's so cool. They've got a JFK, a lazy JFK.
Right, right, right.
A relaxed JFK with his pants rolled up.
Yep.
Walking on the beach.
Yep.
And they even have beach.
Right.
Under the statue.
That's how great the statue is.
And I was
is.
Like, that is so cool, because that is the kind of JFK that you'd like to see.
We're getting a bunch of texts, Jim, from people who want to know what the real name of the town is, if it's your version or it's my version. Your version of the town.
Guadagunkpunk.
It's not a Guadagunkpunk. It's Ogunquit. It's about 15 minutes in. Once you're coming in from New Hampshire, it's about
10 to 15
minutes
in. So how do you get there? I flew into Boston. How did you get there?
We alternate. Some years we fly into Boston. Sometimes we fly into...
you can't remember? You just came back.
I'm trying to remember. Manchester's the town, but the airport is called something else in Manchester. It's like Manchester...
Guadagunkpunk International.
That's what it's called. And they're playing up the whole Manchester by the Sea. They're doing all kinds of sadness tours around town.
Everybody's just
weeping.
They
show you all the sad people in town. Andy, I'm not going to spend the whole show talking about Miguel Montero not being a Cub anymore.
It's okay.
But how badly do they want to get rid of this guy when the trade is for him? Maybe for cash, maybe for a player.
And the Cubs are also picking up
bats.
Right. Cubs are also picking up a majority of the salary left on the contract, which is around $7 million or so.
Is that a lot of money? Wow!
Yeah.
Wow! 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 All right, it's me, it's Bill, and then Wendy has the day off. We both have the day off tomorrow, but we'll be back at our regular time on Wednesday. Jim Toronto has been kind enough to come in and fill in for us. And I just realized, because usually we start our show at 10, that we are also being seen by people over on the CLTV. So hello, everybody on CLTV. It's a good thing we all dressed as nicely as we did.
Well, you didn't. Well, no, you actually didn't wear stripes. Well, you did sort of wear stripes.
I got the stripes.
You might be. What do they call that? Yeah, when it kind of zones.
Did they chroma key him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a mess.
Yeah, just don't move.
You just see my head. That's all. Yeah. Right. I have no body. It's just a floating
don't
head.
Don't make any quick movements.
Please.
People
please,
will freak
please
out.
Be very careful.
Let's see how patriotic I am.
Let's see, Mayor.
Oh. Isn't that sacrilegious? It's like a,
Mary's
it's like a newspaper
full,
flag. Is
full
that even
Betsy Ross.
I don't know if Violetta put it up. It's like made of, it's yeah.
That might be illegal.
What?
You can't just like pin up a flag on a wall.
Well, what? Well, somebody just texted me. Actually, they sent me an email, and we had it vertically down, and they said that I could not do that because
there's a lot of rules.
They said the blue had to be to the left, my blue was to the right, and I didn't hang it. Oh, you know, I'm not going to out Violetta, but I don't.
But Violetta Podramatic is responsible for
yes.
this.
So yep. I just told her that we had. I put it horizontal. Is that wrong too?
No, I think that's correct.
No, that's all right.
Yeah,
but why are you saying
I just
that
think
I, just...
I thought that you couldn't put a representation of a flag up. I thought you needed
Mary,
a real
please
flag.
No.
What do you mean?
Please understand, though, that when you put it away, two Weeblos have to come and roll it. You can't do it yourself.
I see.
Two members of the Boy Scouts have to come and physically help you.
I just was up there hanging it, so I had to move the camera so you wouldn't see parts of me while I was hanging it.
No, it looks very...
anyway...
Speaking of blue side up...
yes.
You know, you can wear a T-shirt with a flag, so why can't I put a flag
on
it?
Oh, I'm giving you a hard time.
I don't know you are.
I used to give you a hard time a long time. I just want to give you a hard time.
Well, anyway, I'm just showing my
spirit. Andy's got something he wants to say.
Yeah, it was really weird because that debate kind of came up this weekend in Major League Baseball because all the teams were wearing their Stars and Stripes versions of the jerseys.
Right.
And everybody on the right sleeve had the American flag, and it seemed like it was backwards. But it's also like it's on the tail of an airplane. From what I remember,
box has to be on the upper left.
That upper
side.
Left.
That leads apparently. If the stars in the blue, whichever direction
left.
You're going, it leads.
Right.
So that's why it's back. It seems backwards on an airplane. So they were backwards on the sleeves
on the jersey.
On the jersey patches.
They said to the observer that the blue has to be to the left. And I've had this flag up for like a month. I think Violetta's hung, and nobody said anything until I just got this.
You know, on Sergeant Pepper, Paul McCartney is turned around.
Right.
And that's why they think
because
he's dead.
He had died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
So does Max Scherzer, who has two different color eyes, does he have to make those red and blue for the 4th of July? He must,
contact
right?
lenses, yeah. Yes, yes.
Good.
It's like David Bowie.
Right.
My dad had a blue and a green eye.
Did he also?
Yes, he did.
Very rare.
And
very
what, cool. What color do you have?
I have hazel. I have the mix.
Oh.
Interesting.
Look at none of us doing a hazel
Did you ever take a paternity test?
What? Yeah. My mom had brown eyes.
Come on.
Go away.
Jim is suggesting.
Go away. You've only been here for an hour, but just go away. No wonder why you're never on anymore.
Irritated Mary. Are you happy now?
Go away.
She doesn't need that. She's in on a almost holiday, on
That's
a fake
right.
holiday.
I'm,
yeah, why are you even here?
I was the only morning member here.
Because,
I have no idea.
You know why? Because this shows who
Dedicated.
In the cast
right.
of characters at WGN truly cares about the listeners. The people who come in today. Your Mary Vandevelles, your Mies, your
this,
Andy Mazur.
On this quasi
These are the
holiday.
People who care.
It's quasi-holiday.
The other people, they just don't care.
No, she's a trooper.
Plus, yeah. I'm on vacation next week. So
oh, there you go.
All right, well,
there
that
you
makes go. Sense, too. That makes sense. Jim, the people over at CLTV, now, when Wendy and I do our regular show from 10 to noon, and then we're on the ham radio for an hour, noon
The after
one.
Party.
Yeah, the after party, yeah. The bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. We can talk about whatever we want, but at CLTV, they insist. They need to know in advance what the topics will be so that they can find pictures to put on CLTV.
It's a visual medium.
It's a visual medium, Andy. Yes. Thank you. Radio is a much more audio medium.
Correct.
But as it turns out, TV is more visual. So you suggested something. And
Tell
I
us
really...
other stories. Oh, great answer, man.
I hadn't really
Could
thought
Could you go
about...
back into the difference between radio and television? Because yeah. that was compelling.
TV is much more, as Andy and I have decided,
visual.
But radio is more audio.
Are there going to be can we use notes on this quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, so visual.
60% of your grade.
TV,
yeah.
radio, audio.
Correct.
Right. All right, so you came up with a suggestion. You have figured out something about what's going on in entertainment on television this summer. And I found this to be true, too, but hadn't really thought about it. Go ahead, please.
Well, we are seeing a glut, if you will, of old, recycled
mm-hmm.
television or game shows
mm-hmm.
from basically the 70s, some of the 60s, you know, with new hosts and all new snazzy graphics. And so what's interesting is you're watching these older shows. They're making them sound like they're new.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to give them an updated, you know, millennial
because
spin.
Because they are new. If you're 30 or under,
mm-hmm.
It's new to see the Newlywed Game or the Dating Game or the Gong Show.
But those of us who are around, we remember your Gene Rayburns with Match Game, and we remember your Chuck Woolery's with Love Connection, and we remember your Chuck Barris's with the Gong Show.
Yes.
And we remember your Dick Clark's with $100,000 Pyramid and things like that. And so it's kind of interesting because you see what they're trying to do to make it of today, and yet you go, but that's not what made the shows so popular and endearing. There are a couple of old TV networks like Buzzer and the Game Show Network, which just show the old vintage ones.
And I mean, it's fun to watch.
On Buzzer, awesome. They have Match Game on for 17 hours a day.
Yeah.
And that's the one that has done very well in the ratings with Alec Baldwin as the host.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
And we were talking about that. I mean, the thing is, I loved Match. We all did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have to think. Mm-hmm. We're all around the same
Get ready
age.
To match the stars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it around, was it 2:30 on Channel 2, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tattletales was right around it.
Yeah.
And they would change the name of it every year. It was Match Game 78.
And the greatest episode to watch was the New Year's Eve episode.
Right.
Because they would end the game about 2 minutes early, and then they would bring down the new sign with the new 75 or 76.
And Joanne Worley would shriek in excitement. Right.
Fanny Flagg would show indifference.
Right. Right. It was hard to face Fanny Flagg.
Yeah. And of course, Charles would just go,
Right.
But
Mary, also a picture of Fanny Flagg behind her in the
Now, I heard Fanny Flagg, you can display her
vertically.
You can invert Fanny Flagg.
From what I heard about her, she was vertical quite a bit.
Yes. Or horizontal.
Do not besmirch the good name of Fanny Flagg, Jim.
Okay, darling.
You don't need that.
Fried Green Tomatoes.
Right, she wrote that.
She wrote Fried Green Tomatoes, yeah. But so what's been interesting, I've been watching them all just for the sake to see, okay, how are they matching up? And the irony is I've watched all of them. Some I can get through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like, but the one that I never was a big fan of back when it was on, I'm finding I like the most, which is the Gong Show.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I only saw the first one. I didn't see last week.
I was never a big fan of the Gong Show with Chuck Barris.
Oh.
I got it. I understood what was going on.
I loved it
so much.
I had a friend of mine, Tom, who loved it. He would. Did you see the Gong Show? And then, of course, Gene, the dancing machine. But, and then Barris, if you remember that show started out very straight. Chuck Barris came out. In fact, he wasn't even the first host. There was another person who was the host, and then Chuck said, I can do this better.
Wait, who was that?
There was some nondescript guy. I don't remember his name, but the first host.
Because the story I always heard was Chuck Barris was a producer. He did the Newlywed Game and the Dating Game, and they couldn't find anybody to host it. And he goes, well, if they're not going to find anybody, let me just
Well, maybe
give it
was
shot.
A pilot or something. I know that there was another. I remember seeing this other guy for like one or two episodes. And then
really?
Chuck did it. Yeah. And so it was very straight. And then there was a moment when Chuck just said, oh, wait, why are we playing this straight? This show is about lunacy and craziness. And then he went off and he started wearing all those hats.
Right.
And just, he wouldn't even look. His eyes were always closed.
They were.
Like, and now we got a great one here. I love this hat.
Yeah.
And then Gene, it was just. And then,
the unknown comic?
J.P. Morgan.
Right. Started. Murray Langston, the unknown comic, was a frequent
And then J.P. Morgan flashed one time.
Now, I think that was only in the Gong Show movie.
Oh, okay.
Because they made it.
Yeah,
the show was such a hit that there was a movie version.
But it was just mayhem. And so I was like, but I was never a huge fan of that because I'm not really a big slapstick fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Stooges fan,
Me neither.
I like the Honeymooners. I like good writing. But anyway.
Yeah.
But I see this new one, and Mike Myers is playing a different character. He's playing some famous, in quotes, British comedian named Tommy Maitland.
You know, when they first did promos for the show, they said, and one of Great Britain's top comedians, Tommy Maitland. And I sat there and I go, how do I not know this guy?
And he's got makeup on, and he does, he loves doing British accents.
Yeah.
And the first thing he came out, he's almost doing a hybrid of Simon, that little kid in the tub.
Right.
And Austin Powers. Because he come out, first minute he goes, hello, you cheeky monkeys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the first line he said. But he has like a matador hat on.
Right. For no reason.
For no reason.
And
never even references it.
Does the dances.
Yeah, he shakes a little.
And we'll be back with more stuff. Yeah. There's still a line.
Yeah, and so it's just, and then he's got some really kind of risque little comments.
Right.
And it's just, it's working for me.
I like it too.
It really is working
for me. Have you seen it, Andy?
I have not seen the new one, no.
Yeah, check it out on Thursdays at 9 o'clock.
And they get bigger name. Well, I say bigger name, but They had some fairly decent size.
They had Will
names.
Arnett, who was a producer of it, actually. But Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Last week, they had Fred Armiston. They had
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're doing well with the guests. But on the first one, like, people forget, David Letterman was one of the judges often.
Right.
Jamie Farr. Jamie Farr.
Artie Johnson.
Yeah. Steve Martin a couple times.
Yes.
He was a judge a couple times. So they were never at a loss for good judges on the show. But yeah, the same kind of lunacy that existed on the first version, they've managed to recapture, and it's harder to find that now.
No, and I think it all really centers around that Mike Myers is playing it straight.
Yeah.
But he's also winking
yeah.
to like we know where what I'm doing here. And,
right.
and if you know I'm Mike Myers, okay. But if you don't, you think I'm Tommy Maitland.
Even better.
Even better.
Yeah.
Now, I've been watching. Last night, we watched $100,000 Pyramid.
Who's the host on that?
Michael Strahan.
Michael Strahan. Yeah. Him and Steve Harvey are the only two people who can host anything in America now, apparently. Steve Harvey, I counted, 7 jobs.
He's working steadily.
I'll take one, Steve. 2 years almost, Steve, and you've got 7.
Yeah.
And so it's like, but anyway, so straight, what I don't like about the new one is it's the $100,000 pyramid. The winners go to the circle.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. In the good days of game shows, back in the 60s and 70s, you had to achieve. This is once again. This is everybody gets a trophy mentality.
Right.
You had to achieve to get to the next level.
Yeah, it was 25, then 50, right?
But here's
each time through.
Right. But here's the thing. On the $100,000 pyramid, they only play with two times, and the people are gone. You might get into that circle to win the 50.
Yeah.
That's first time.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, 50 grand, not bad.
That's pretty good.
But if you don't, and say you come up 2 things short, you get $700 or something. If you win the next game, you could play for $100,000.
Oh.
But I lost at 50.
Right.
Why do I come back
and
play for $100?
I'm not sure why.
I know why, because no one cares about the achieving.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wins a trophy. We want to see people win money. So let's just give them $100. If they lost the 50, it's like, no, you should earn your way up the stairs.
Right.
Clark would have never.
Dick Clark would
exactly.
be spinning.
Yes.
He was mean
spinning
on
that.
And he would not salute after the show ended, after he saw
that's
the
how
travesty.
He'd be. That's how upset he'd be. Now,
hey, Bill?
Yes.
I just sat down.
Yes, Steve.
Is Jim Toronto there?
No, he's not here.
Are you talking about the $100,000 pyramid?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a rerun. Today's show's a rerun from years ago.
I thought there was something with the board.
No, they're
here.
Just rerunning a best of show.
Okay, good.
It's fine.
I won't call
Don't
anyone.
Worry. You're all cut up. Okay. All right, we'll take a quick break.
Sorry for you to come on time, Steve.
Don't. You've made fun of Fannie Flagg and Steve Bertrand in the last 5 minutes.
And Mary.
I'm leaving before I'm next.
I don't blame you, Randy. A quick break and then more show. It's Bill Leff and a tape of Jim Toronto from many, many years ago. Stick around.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Right,
bye. It's Bill Leff and it's Jim Toronto. Jim, you have declared this the summer of the game show.
Well, yeah. I mean, from what I've read, too, apparently the networks are saying twofold. First of all, it's summer.
The ratings are good, though.
Yeah, well, because
they get good ratings.
The view is it's kind of just mindless, get away from it all entertainment. Don't have to think, just to sit back and enjoy. And they also brought in the whole political climate that in these difficult times, it's good to just have some, something to just take you out of reality for a while and just be silly and fun. And so that's kind of the way they're going.
Right.
So they've been pillaging the game show network for all the old, Bill Todman, Mark Goodson, Bill Todman
productions. Yeah.
And so some of them have done well. I'm not a huge fan of the Match Game reboot because, as we talked about off the air, that show was risque and it had its little edge to it, but it wasn't on purpose. It was kind of organic. And now it seems like if you watch that, Alec Baldwin is bawdy and every other third word is bleeped.
Yeah.
And then the questions are very risque.
But there was an element of that in the early days, too. Whenever Gene Rayburn would give the situational question.
Oh, right.
With Old Man Periwinkle.
Right.
Old Man Periwinkle says.
Dumb Dora.
Right. There was always enough innuendo.
But it was innuendo.
Yeah.
And
more blatant.
And now it's just right out there. I said, they can't even talk about it. They have to bleep everything. And there was always these little rumors about how, they were there for a day. And by the end, they would film 6 or 7 shows a day. And by the end of the show, the celebrities would be a little drunk.
You could always tell the episodes that were shot after lunch.
Right,
because at lunch they would have a bottle of Chablis.
But now they have drinks at their seat.
Right.
And they're getting drunk on the air.
You know,
what's his name? Jack Brewer? Who's the guy from 30 Rock? The with the big Jack Brewer? Jack McBrayer?
Jack McBrayer,
I think this guy has a glass of rosé with ice in it and he gets drunk. So he's completely he's been out of it. You can just tell.
Did you ever see the one where Richard Dawson is, without a doubt, as drunk can be, and he gets into a little fight with Gene Rayburn?
Like, serious, because they wouldn't give him an answer.
Right, and he insisted that he was right, and things got so tense. Dan Long is filling in for Kevin today. Dan, do me a favor. I know we don't have time in this segment, but on YouTube, go to the YouTube and find Richard Dawson drunk in Match Game, and we'll play a little audio of that, because it's one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen in my life.
And you could tell, now I believe it was from 77 or 78.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering also, don't forget, at this time, Richard now is his own host.
Yeah.
He's hosting Family Feud.
So he doesn't need this nonsense.
He doesn't need this nonsense. I think he's starting to get a little big head.
Yeah.
Like, why am I even having, hey, Rayburn.
Right.
I'm more popular than you are right now.
I'm more than just the Hogan's Heroes guy. I've got my own show.
Yeah, so I'm not just Dickie Dawson anymore.
Right.
And so I think there's a little of that.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon he's off the show.
Yeah.
And and McLean Stevenson is sitting in that chair.
Right.
But
right.
The one thing I did want to mention before we have to go on this, so they brought up Battle of the Network Stars. If you remember this great show on ABC.
Loved it.
Howard Cosell used to host it. They would bring all these.
But it was only on once a year. Like, the new version is on every week,
which is way too much.
Right. Once a year is
This was a special. They would bring back some of these stars. At that time, you know, we only had three networks. We did not see celebrities everywhere all the time. So it was kind of cool to see them out of their characters.
Yeah.
And then, though, they were performing in these different athletic, feats against each other. And it was the 70s, and people were in shape, but they weren't buff.
Right.
So it was cool, you know, to see a Hal Linden with his pot belly kind of doing the relay race, you know, or see a Willie Ames doing the obstacle course.
Sure, that's fun.
Well, now the new version, I must give them credit. The coolest thing is they started it out, and it was the best part of the show. The show began with the opening to ABC's Wild Wilder Sports with Jim McKay and the Agony of Defeat skier guy.
Yeah.
But the show itself was it didn't have the same, just the same charm. Everybody's worried about how they looked. You could tell there was a lot of quick cuts. You didn't see the full performances. It was like, well, here's the tennis, and they show three
highlights.
Shots. Yeah. So it was kind of disappointing.
And it's not legitimate stars. It's not the people from ABC, CBS, and NBC.
No, they're grouping it: TV stars versus sex stars.
Yeah.
That's not
a real show.
No, it's
Jim.
Not a network. It's not. There's no networks.
That's upsetting.
And it's in the title.
No, I know.
Once again.
All right. Let's do this. Let's do. We'll take a break for news, and then I think we're going to play a little bit of that audio of Richard Dawson drunk out of his mind from Match
Game. Is that Steve Bertrand doing news?
Yeah, it's going to be Steve Bertrand. Calm down. It's going to be fine. Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and a tape of Jim Toronto that we found in a box from years ago, filling in for Wendy. as we were mentioning, this summer, if you've been anywhere near a television, you've probably noticed this, too. There's a whole lot of game shows going on. They've revamped game shows, some of our favorite shows from the 70s.
Love Connection is on with Andy Cohen.
Oh, that's an interesting choice.
Fox. Yeah. Yeah. But it's not. It's all high tech, too.
Do you know which one I saw? And it's not a revamp. It's a new show. Now, years ago, they started doing, what was the one that Regis Philbin had with
Millionaire? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? So that they show that once a week, and it was such a hit that then they started showing it every night, and then it burned itself out.
Like Deal or No Deal was the same
Deal
thing.
Deal or No Deal
killed it
with Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
All right. So about 2 weeks ago, I saw a show where there's a giant wall. I think it's called
The Wall with Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick is the host.
Yeah.
I didn't see the first few minutes, so the whole show was me trying to figure out the rules, because I can't figure out what the rules are. Because sometimes the contestant would answer incorrectly, and they'd get more money than if they answered correctly. And then there's another contestant who's hidden in a room, and they're allowed to talk to each other.
Right.
And I don't understand. I kept going, at some point I'll be able to figure this out. I couldn't figure it out.
Well, basically what it is a it's kind of a high-tech ripoff of Price is Right's Plinko.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah,
you know, when
the
you
ball
take the chip
down
and it goes in down on those little,
right.
It's a dollar number at the bottom. So they use balls.
Well, you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember a show called One versus 100 that
yes.
was on for a couple
yes.
of years?
Right.
It had that kind of a feel, too. But
yeah.
I swear, well, when it was done, I couldn't figure
so
out.
So here, the rules are very, they are, it's not easy to figure this if you're just coming in
yeah.
and watching it. It's usually a couple. They usually have some heartwarming love story that they have to always to tell us, and
yeah.
I love you very much.
Well, I love
so
you too, Jim.
So one of the couples goes behind, and they answer the questions.
Yeah.
The other guy then decides, the other man or woman, decides which number they're going to put the ball in to fall,
yeah.
like from where, 1 to 7.
Yeah.
And they decide, it's usually multiple choice questions, and they'll go, well, I don't know if she's going to know this one. I'm just going to put one ball in. But if she's going to know this one, I'm going to double down and put two balls in.
Uh-huh.
So then you get positive. The green balls are for your positive number. But then if you miss a question, they put the red ball in.
And you lose that
And
amount.
You lose. So if it goes into the million,
yeah.
you lose a million.
Oh.
So and then there are.
What if you don't have a million?
Then the game's done.
They don't. But the game show doesn't go into your personal bank account and take
no,
a million.
They don't know
all
that.
Right.
They
that'd
don't
be more
that
exciting.
Deep. They do need your routing number.
I think that would make the game more challenging for
yeah.
everybody.
So then there are a certain amount of positive balls that you get.
Yeah.
And then there are some you have to take negative ones. So the beginning of it, you accrue your money.
Yeah.
And then
you just try not to lose it.
And then there's four negative balls that you have to get.
Yeah.
So say you get up to 1.5 million.
Yeah.
Well, now there's still 1 million on that bottom that the ball could fall in, but now it's a red ball. If it falls in there, boom. You know.
All right.
So that's
I understand it a little bit better. But
the key is though. This is the key. Now you get a guaranteed amount of money or the wall.
Right.
Hey, Bill. I just sat down.
Yeah, Steve. Sure. What can I do for you?
Is Jim Toronto in today?
Jim is not in today. This is a tape of Jim from years ago.
Are you talking about money balls or
the wall?
Yeah. Money walls?
Money walls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's that time of year.
Thought there was a problem with my board.
No. Your board's fine.
Good. Okay.
Everything's all right.
It's not. Hey, it's Monday. It's a quasi-howdy. This radio station's not even turned on.
Right. It's just for pretend.
Yeah.
We're just
it's
here for
demo
pretend.
Tape.
Well, we know it's turned off.
How about that pop text?
That was aimed right at you.
Oh, yeah.
That was aimed right at you.
He's like an archer.
All right. Let's.
He's like William Tell.
Let's run this tape. Now, for people who didn't hear this earlier, as we're mentioning, they've resurged a bunch of game shows from years ago, and they're showing them again, usually with different hosts, almost always with Steve Harvey for some weird
reason.
Well,
most of the hosts aren't alive.
I guess that's part of it. I guess that is part of it. And even Tom Bergeron is turning a deaf ear to this. I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
Tom Bergeron's out. All right, so one of the shows is The Match Game, and the host is Alec Baldwin, which is a very interesting choice if you're going to have a game show to have Alec Baldwin be your host, but he's doing a fine job. But we were talking about a particular instance back in the 70s when Richard Dawson had one too many to drink, and he got into a little fight with Gene Rayburn, he of the long, thin microphone. So let's pick this up. It's uncomfortable, I'll tell you that. Here we go.
It's
we
like
go,
me and Steve.
Yeah, it's similar to you, and it's the relationship that you have with Steve. Yeah, all right, listen to this.
What we're looking for here, Joanne, are pony eaters.
Well, what you'll get is bad grammar. I said he would eat the pony instead
he
of
would
ate
eat
the pony.
The pony.
Well,
now, Dan, stop it there for a second. That contestant is a woman named Joanne, who I have no... It's not Joanne
it's
Flug.
It's not Joanne Flug?
No. I thought it would be Joanne Flug, too. It's a woman who I... It looks like Elaine Joyce, who is a mainstay on all these shows,
yeah,
but it's
very
not.
Cute.
She's adorable.
Yeah, I just was watching.
I don't know who she is.
Really?
I have no idea who she
that
is.
That was always kind of the bimbo seat.
Yeah, seat number four was usually...
The Chantanous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go
let's
Chantanous
say,
over Bimbo.
Bimbo. But it was kind of
yeah.
like the pretty girl
yeah.
that Jean could always flirt with.
Yeah.
She was close.
That's who usually sat there.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So so there it is. Joanne answers a horse eater, and that's not the right answer. So now we go on to Richard Dawson, and things get a little messy.
I swear to you what I'm going to show you. I've never done on this show before.
You have?
Oh, good. Hurry
is this a first?
I swear to you. That's
you
the obviously ate the pony is the answer, right?
Yes.
And
obvious.
All that noise about not fair and August. I just I know what I've written. I wrote sat on. That's in the question, isn't it?
That's right.
Now, hey, don't do that, please. I swear to God. I
you know,
said
they
ate
sit
the pony.
On their
nothing
so
else.
Instead, Kong
well,
sat on the pony.
Now, Dan, stop it for just a second. I want everybody to pay very close attention to something. The question is whether or not Richard Dawson may have had one too many at lunch. Okay. Now, at some point, you're going to notice that things get so out of hand that Gene Rayburn and other panelists go, cut, because they know this isn't in anyone's best interest.
If you listen closely, there was a slur.
Yeah.
There, you could hear his voice. Yeah. Now, wait a minute.
Right. Right.
He did
something
do that.
That sometimes people who have had too much to drink right. will say yeah. as a way of kind of getting things back.
You can't slander him anymore. He's dead.
Yeah. All right. He's drunk. Richard Dawson was drunk right. at this point. They would tape frequently 5 episodes in a day, and as the day went on and it got longer and longer, sometimes lunch got a little long, too. So now listen to where it gets really weird, and everybody, once it's established that Richard, who, by the way, blames this on staying up late the night before to do a telethon. Not that he's
yeah,
been...
Yeah, where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know. But listen to when everybody just gets so uncomfortable that they just go, oh, cut, cut. Yeah. All right, listen to this.
Now, why would I write? I wouldn't write set on. That's in the question. I thought I wrote 8. Never lie to you, but don't take a point away. I swear on my life, 8 was my answer. Now please take. Now listen, we let the delicatessen go by. Don't take a point from this lady.
Now listen,
Richard. Want to sit down?
What's fair? I agree. The other thing was fair, but that's not fair.
No, I'm not. You're voted for Hawaii. He's
yeah,
leaving. You've got to take a vacation and get some rest.
Done that. You know what I did all
that's
night.
Right. You're working too hard.
I
you were on that telethon all night.
I did the telethon all night. I must be punchy.
Yes.
But the judges, I really mean this.
Cut.
Never ask me to do you a favor. Because if you don't check my word, I meant 8. Now, obviously, I could not write sat on. Yes, right. Unless I'm demented, yes. which I am.
Ooh.
Right. Well, I'll give you a point. Just a second.
Here's what I'd like to say.
Yeah, what would you like to say?
Fanny Flagg to the rescue, Jen.
Speaking of ponies, do you remember Dale
Evans?
Card
even, excuse me, his card, even his card won't stand up.
Oh, don't do that. All right, break it right there.
Wow.
Every part of that's uncomfortable. Now, what you can't see is he's getting madder and madder, but because it's the 1970s and it's a game show, the audience continues to laugh and applaud and clap.
They think this is great. This is
great
performance.
Oh, yeah. But it's so uncomfortable. Yeah.
And everyone, like you said, the usuals, your Bretts and your Charleses and your Jeans.
Yeah.
They know what's going
this
on.
This isn't right.
Because you know backstage.
Right.
I question even how well they got along toward the end. Because they were on that show for 5 years.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, and don't forget, Richard Dawson then went on to become...
A huge star
in his own. So you know that had to bug Brett
right.
and Charles
right.
and even Gene.
Right.
Because Family Feud became a bigger sensation
than Match Game. Yeah.
Even though Match Game was the number one show for many years and had a late night version.
Yeah.
But Family Feud became a pop culture icon with, you know, Survey Says and all the kissing.
Yeah.
Richard turned that into something.
Yeah.
So you know that there was a little kind of professional jealousy that, you know, from Gene's standpoint, you just used to be sitting in that chair.
Right.
Because I watch all these reruns of Match Game now, and several times people, you know, some celebrity will say something and Gene will go, get your own show.
Right. He gets furious
He's like, do not.
He gets very upset.
Do not walk on my turf.
Do you remember when Gene Rayburn left Match Game, who they brought in to be
Ross Schaefer.
It was Ross Schaefer for a little while, but then after Ross Schaefer, do you remember who?
Wow.
He's from a band.
Oh, yes. From Sha-na-na.
Yeah.
From
John Bowser Bauman.
John Bowser Bauman.
Yeah. And that didn't go too well.
You know what? I was this is how scary this. You and I track too much on this stuff. It's kind of scary. So I'm watching an old Tattletales the other day. And, you know, Bert Convy, who was the host of Tattletales and many other shows, he was 57 years old when he died. He had a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this. When they were bringing the Match Game back in the 90s, they wanted Bert first.
Oh, they did.
But he had this brain tumor, and then they went and got Ross Schaefer.
Yeah.
But he was going to host it.
Yeah, he was great at it.
He was he did a lot of shows, you know, and he also filled in after Alan Ludden. This is the irony. Alan Ludden died of cancer, and he filled in on Password Plus.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, he had a tumor.
How about
and
that?
Passed away. So.
And Bobby Vann was another guy that was a frequent game show host
with Elaine Joyce.
Were married. Yeah.
And guess now who she's married to now.
Elaine Joyce is married
you'll
to
never, you'll be shocked
Putin, Vladimir Putin.
Neil Simon.
Really?
She's married to Elaine Joyce, the bimbo on all the 70s game shows.
Not bimbo.
You got to stop that.
Not bimbo.
Really?
Yeah.
That was her role. I'm not being, what am I, being politically incorrect? That was her role.
But bimbo implies that maybe she slept around with the other panelists.
Oh, I thought she was just kind of ditzy. That was her role.
All right.
Anyway, she's going to get Odd Couple money.
Let's say fun-loving.
Okay, fun-loving.
Let's go with fun-loving. Oh, thank you, Steve.
Oh, my God.
All right, we will take a quick break.
She's going to get Odd Couple money when
she's
Neil dies.
She's married to Neil Simon.
She's going to get goodbye girl money.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right, a quick break, and then there's a lot more to discuss. We're 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump
can't
in.
Can't say bimbo, huh?
You can say it, but not about Elaine Joyce.
Oh, is that what you're... so your problem is not the term, it's
I'm
about
here to
who?
Defend Elaine Joyce.
I didn't know you were in the fan club.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm here to defend Elaine Joyce. All right, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left. It's Jim Toronto filling in for Wendy. It's an old show, an old rerun. Steve is here live, though. Stick around. Bill and Jim, WGN. All right, it's Bill Left, in for myself.
Oh, are you in for yourself? So you're not even here today.
I'm not here today. Nice. No, I'm taking an extended holiday.
Well, the person they have in for you has a bad leg.
Yeah, I know.
They got a broken version of you.
I understand that. It's cheaper. I get paid by the limb. Jim Toronto is filling in for Wendy Snyder. Both Wendy and myself will be back on Wednesday, the day after the
4th of
July.
So the real you will not be here tomorrow?
No, the real me cannot be in tomorrow.
One.
Neither version of me can be in tomorrow. We're talking about game shows and the resurgence of game shows, and Jim is besmirching the good name of Elaine Joyce. Very upsetting to all of us. There was a text I wanted to read you. I have to find it. They were adamant about something you said about... Oh, here it is.
Uh-oh.
Elaine Joyce, this is from 312. Yeah. From everybody in 312, Jim, not just one person.
Oh, the whole... Wow. The
whole
entire
area code
wow.
says,
nice.
Elaine Joyce was never, all caps, a bimbo. She was smart and funny.
Oh.
So I want you to please retract
statement. I'm not saying that she was a bimbo. She played the bimbo
the role. Of the
role.
Bimbo on a game show?
And even on different shows.
Yeah.
In fact, she was on an episode of Andy Griffith.
Was she?
An early version. She made Helen Crump jealous.
Oh, my gosh.
A very young Elaine Joyce.
I didn't know that.
But she kind of played a kind of a floozy, you know, provocative girl that was like playing with
by
Mayberry, can't say floozy now, right?
By Mayberry standards or by
she was
general...
playing with Andy's hair.
Oh.
Yeah. They were making out in the car.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Mayberry.
In Mayberry.
That
there
seems
there was a little underbelly. It was like Twin Peaks.
Sandy has something to share with us. Sandy, it's the day before 4th of July, so of course we're talking about Elaine Joyce. What do you have to add?
I just want to let you know, Elaine Joyce was married to Bobby Vance,
right.
who would appear on these game shows many times together.
Yeah.
They were both Broadway stars, and he died of brain cancer in the early 80s.
He was the host of a show called Make Me Laugh several years. He was really good
at
it.
He was a song and dance man. That's how he started, as a song and dance man. Yeah.
He's good, and did you ever see the movie version of Lost Horizon, the musical version of that?
Yeah, he's in
that. He's in that, yeah.
And she went on in the 90s to marry Neil Simon.
That's what Jim was just saying. I had never heard of that before.
She's going to be getting chapter tune money when he dies.
Yeah. Yep.
And she also is his fourth wife.
Oh.
Neil Simon's fourth.
Marcia Mason.
She was the goodbye girl.
Neil Simon and Paul Simon were married for years.
And Simon Cowell.
And Simon Cowell. They're all married. Wow, Sandy, you know a lot about Elaine Joyce. Congratulations.
Can you give us the background on Brett Summers?
Please. We need to know more.
She was married to Jack Klugman.
Right.
Right. Right.
Well, thank you very much, Sandy. Have a good 4th of July.
You too, dear. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Who knew that there was such a groundswell of support for an Elaine Joyce?
Yeah, a lot.
I didn't know anybody, A, knew who she was.
No, everybody knows.
And then would balk at the bimbo tag.
Favorite obscure game show of all time? Is there one that was really obscure that only lasted for a short period of time that you enjoyed?
Wow.
I have two, by the way. I got two that I loved.
Obscure. The one that I really liked, which I don't see on reruns anymore, remember Split Second?
Yeah, with Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy, where the cool part was you played the game, and then you got a pair of car keys.
Yeah.
And there was
one of five cars.
Five cars, and then every week, or every game, if you won, you put it in, you turn the... It went... It was like Abbott. Or no, it was that Costello, like...
Right.
And then if it didn't turn over, you came back tomorrow. And
another chance.
But then that car was eliminated.
Right.
So now you had a 1-in-4 chance to win the car. And then hopefully if you got down to the last
day. That was a fun show.
Yeah. I always like that one. I don't see that one very often. What are yours?
All right. The two that I liked the most were, and I know they're both very obscure. I think they both lasted a year. One was called The Magnificent Marble Machine.
I remember there was like a big giant pinball machine.
Machine.
Yeah, that was a great show.
That was a lot of fun.
And the balls apparently...
Size of beach balls.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they didn't look like that on the screen.
Right.
But that machine was so huge. Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't know why, but one of the two celebrity contestants on that show very often was David Brenner, whose answers were hysterical. I always liked the episodes he was in. And then there was another one called The Money Maze. And what you had there was you had couples playing against each other, and whoever won got to go into the maze.
Oh.
So one of them would stand up high above the maze and have to yell to their partner.
Like, take a left.
Go left, go right, go.
I do remember.
Keep going straight.
I do
because the money
that.
Were on these giant pylons, so
yes.
You had to jump up and hit the top of the pylon.
I do remember.
And the host of that was Nick Clooney, George Clooney's dad. Was
oh, really?
The host of that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, as you watch some of these and you just remember from the 70s, it seemed as if there were four hosts, or five maybe.
Of almost every game show.
Of every show.
The hosts would be?
Tom Kennedy. We just talked about.
Jack Nares
from Now You See It.
And also Beat the Clock.
Oh, he was on Beat the Clock,
too? He did
too?
Beat the Clock, yeah.
There was Monty Hall.
Bill Cullen was the host of almost every show.
Yeah, Bill Cullen was on, and then...
Steve Harvey of his day.
How about the Joker's Wild guy? Who was Jack?
That was Jack Barry.
Jack Barry.
And he was involved in that 21...
The scandal.
Scandal that was the movie quiz show.
Right.
I remember when Rick Monday's wife was on The Joker's Wild.
Really?
Yeah.
As a contestant.
Yeah, I was like 12 or 13, and Jack's like, oh, and you're married to a baseball player.
By the way, Steve, inside information, but the American flag that Mary Vandeveld has in her office, somebody tried to steal that, and Rick Monday swooped in at the last second and put it back on the wall. Thank you, Rick Monday, for doing that.
You could see the char marks on it.
Yeah. Who are we leaving out? Peter Marshall,
Alan Ludden.
Alan Ludden.
And Wink Martindale, Tic Tac Doe, and things like that. But Bill Cullen, and there was a moment there where there was like three or four. They just continually.
And not only were they the hosts of those shows, but they would also be guest panelists on the other shows.
Yeah, I was watching Tattletales. There's Jack Nares and his wife.
Because I guess apparently there weren't enough celebrities to go around. There were so many game shows that you had to use other game show hosts as celebrities.
The funny thing is they were all those Bill Todman.
Mark Goodman, Bill Todman.
Yeah, and so clearly he had his favorites.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, because then you'd see the same people, like Charles Nelson Reilly would show up on Body Language.
Right.
Or, you know, so it was just this little, but you know what? Those guys probably, I'm sitting there going, five people know who Jack Nares is. That's a good name of an obscure guy.
Right.
I guarantee you Jack Nares lived in Malibu.
Oh, he did
fine. In a 25-room mansion.
Right.
Because he just hopped and skipped for 15 years on all these different
TV shows. And isn't he Tom Kennedy's brother, the other game
show?
There is
some weird connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we must take a break. Well, do we go straight to news, Dan? Yeah? All right.
Wow, news again?
Yeah, every half hour.
Boy, this show
The news is constantly changing.
Yeah.
So Steve is here to report on that.
Didn't he just do it like a half hour ago?
Yeah, every half hour. Guess what's going to happen in 30 more minutes?
I'm going to bet Steve Bertrand.
Steve will have the news again for us. All right, we're coming up on 10:30. Steve, you don't mind doing the news again, do you? You just did it a half hour ago, but people like
to know what it is. Any more interesting Rick Monday stories there, Steve?
Bill, I don't mind doing
no,
it.
No, thank you. And again, keep in mind, Steve, that's a tape of Jim from years ago.
These are just drops.
Right, these are from long ago. All right.
A drop is less than 30 minutes.
Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Laffin for myself, and then Wendy also has the day off, but Jim Toronto has been kind enough
to... And I appreciate you inviting me in. It's always fun.
I equally on my side. I miss you being on every day.
I miss being on every day.
I bet. Do they stop paying you when you're not on all the time?
Yeah.
They do?
Oh, yeah, almost immediately.
You got to talk to them about that.
Yeah.
You got to say...
Almost immediately.
We got to change that. In a half an hour, the Tribune's Kristen McQuarrie joins us. We'll talk a little politics. In an hour, Kristen McQuarrie will join us to talk some politics and some other things. There's a lot going on. Oh, it's going to be fun. I imagine the Chris Christie story will come up.
Ah.
We'll talk about that and a couple of other things with Kristen. That happens an hour from now.
Kristen and Christie.
Yeah, yeah. Jim, the internet,
as it
turns out, the internet
Let's
is very on. Upset. The internet is furious over something that's
aren't
happening.
They always? Isn't the internet always
There's
upset?
Always something that makes the internet a little upset, but right now they're furious because a woman has pierced her six-month-old child's cheek and put a...
like a diamond stud?
Like a diamond stud in there, yeah, and posted it on the internet. I'll read you the story, and then you decide who's it right and who's it wrong here.
And if I win, do I go to the bonus round?
You would go to the bonus round, yes. You'll be playing with Joyce Boulafont.
Oh, I love... Now, she wasn't a bimbo.
No,
she was effervescent.
Yeah, that's the difference. That's the difference. When Adina Vance shared a photoshopped picture of her six-month-old daughter on Facebook sporting a dimple piercing, she didn't think that it would cause such a controversy. Her post, however, has racked up nearly 12,000 shares and over 120 comments.
Isn't that Orion's thing? 12,000 shares?
Yes. He will announce this during
and
the
tomorrow,
business report.
Tomorrow the market is closed for the 4th of July holiday.
Some of her friends, Adina Vance, and family have jumped into the satirical train. Have you ever ridden the satirical train?
It's right near the Orient Express.
Yes, it's right next door to the Orient Express. Others are enraged, labeling her, Adina, a bad mother, and even threatening to call Child Protective Services for abusing her baby girl. These people clearly miss the sarcasm that is written at the bottom of the post. She says, I can't believe how many people actually believe that my photo is real. Keep in mind, she just photoshopped this. She didn't actually
have... Yeah,
that
was to say, that's the key word here.
She
this
didn't
is a
actually...
Fake,
yeah, it's a fake picture.
It's a fake picture.
It's a fake picture. But it looks real. But
and what's... but what? So what's the caption? What's the... Because I'm not getting the humor.
Here's a picture of the child and the child's face with the diamond stud in its cheek.
Right.
In her cheek, I should say.
But why is that funny?
I'm not positive why it's funny.
You said there's a caption or people
there's
weren't...
no real caption.
So I'm not getting the humor.
Although there has to be some caption. I don't know.
Because then they say that they're not, they didn't, the people weren't getting the
They
the
weren't
sarcasm.
Understanding, right,
but
that
what?
It was a joke. I can't believe how many people actually believe my photo is real, she has told Yahoo, the website Yahoo. So many people are outraged at the thought of me piercing my baby at such a young age without her consent and against her will. Although I do have to say, people do that with babies' ears all the time. So I mean,
and how do you get the baby's consent?
You can. It's 6 months old. It's 6 months old.
Okay, drool twice.
If you're okay with this.
If you're okay with this.
They don't understand how other body mutilations, alterations, and modifications are the exact same thing for the exact same reason, aesthetic purposes, she says. So she's making a statement as if to say...
Why the ear?
Come on, America.
Why is the ear
right.
acceptable
right.
and yet the cheek not?
Right. Wendy and I discussed this when it first happened, but I want to share it with you because it's pertinent to this story. About 2 years ago, maybe a little longer ago, 2.5 years ago, I go into a Toys R Us because that's what I do, Jim. I go to Toys R Us and I look around. The person who is at the counter of Toys R Us, the person working behind the counter, and I don't know how I missed this. I don't know how I knew that. I didn't know that this was a thing. But they had not just their ear pierced, but they had the giant hole in their ear.
That giant dark thing or no?
Well, there's a couple things you can put in there once you've turned it into...
This crater.
It's
so you saw the hole?
Yeah, it was gigantic. I mean, their earlobe then hung down to almost their shoulder.
Oh, dear.
And there was what looked to be like a 3-inch in diameter hole in their ear. That
with
normally,
nothing even adorning it.
Right. You could usually put a donut in there if you wanted to, or a Plymouth, whatever. If it's big enough, you can put whatever you want in your ear.
Buick is the preferred.
A Buick is, that's more status, I guess. But I had never seen that before, and I swear to you, I know it's impolite to stare. I couldn't stop looking at it because
I
knew that
you.
This guy did this on purpose.
He wants you to stare.
I don't know if he wanted me to stare, but he wanted to be noticed.
Well, that's the point of being noticed.
This
is my point. He wants you to look.
But I couldn't. I mean, I had a million questions, and I didn't want to ask because it's his business. But the whole time I'm in line, I'm like, I would want to get that fixed. I know he did this on purpose, but I would want to get some caulk or some putty and put that in there.
Some flex tape.
That guy
can cut a boat.
I know.
And put tape on it.
I know.
It's amazing.
But the thought that this guy did this on purpose was so unsettling to me. And it was the first time I saw this, but now I have seen it dozens of times since.
I don't understand why the hole is exposed?
I don't think it's supposed to be. I think you're supposed to.
So
once you get this done.
He just didn't have it.
And there's a name for this that is escaping me.
Silliness. Stupidness.
It's silliness. I couldn't think of the word, but yeah.
That's the word.
Silly. It's gauging is what it is. You get your ear gauged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not engaging.
It's not. Not to me. No. To him and maybe his friends it was.
Wow.
And I felt really old at the time because I'm like, here's me criticizing. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and people would go, oh, look at people with the long hair.
Oh, yeah.
So you go, I'm never going to become that guy. But I wanted to say to him, what was that day like where you just said, enough of this, I got to get a 3-inch hole in my ear?
And you paid for it.
Right.
Most likely.
With money and with pain.
Yeah, right.
Right. Well, equal parts money and
pain.
But
I hear a lot of people that get tattoos that part of it is the pain. It's not
they
so
like
much
the pain.
They like the needle. Not so much the artwork as well, but they also like the physical pain and application of the tattoo that they get.
That's
off
part of the thrill.
Yeah, but yeah, I've had a pierced ear for 25 years or so. I sometimes even forget I have it. I mean, it's one of those things I don't really take it out. I clean it, but I mean, I don't really notice it as much. But I mean, my thing, I've never thought of it, or I don't think even looked at it as, you know, it, to me, it's very subtle. I don't draw attention to it.
But a pierced ear is a pinprick-sized hole
that if you leave it alone, it
fills in.
Yeah.
How many years would it take this guy for his ear to fill in? It's honestly, it's the size
and
of
you said his, and his lobe was hanging?
Yeah.
His earlobe
was then hanging down to almost his shoulder.
See, that's just gross.
Right.
That's just not even attractive.
Yeah, I don't.
Now, do you have any ink, if you will?
No.
No, neither do I.
No.
We're on the same age.
I do, twice a year, I do Cracker Jack tattoos. And even then, I feel like I've taken it too far.
You don't do a hemp?
No.
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 You know, and it's so funny because I really think that we are in the minority now. I mean,
more people have them.
I would say in the next 10 years,
the
majority of people will have a tattoo, at least in the United States.
But didn't it start out, like when tattooing first became a thing, you did it to stand out and be different, but now if everyone has a tattoo, doesn't
that's the way I look at it. And now, so then, if your idea is to look at me,
right,
then you have to go crazy and get 17 of them.
Yeah.
And be, you know, because having one isn't enough. Before, people would get the little subtle butterfly on the ankle and type of thing. But now, if you want something, now that's passé.
Right.
So now, if you want to be noticed, you almost have to. I mean, I was really surprised. It's not a big deal. I think it's kind of cool looking. But my godson, who's 31 years old, one time, I hadn't seen him in a while. And the next time thing, he had a huge one on his forearm.
Like a whole, what they call a sleeve?
Yeah, it was almost like a sleeve.
He
calls it a piece. It's a piece.
What's the difference?
Is that, I guess, just because it's like a huge.
Oh, because it's
almost
an
like a work of art. Yeah.
Oh, so
and
it is.
It's like a scene of by a cabin and a pier, which, you know, it's like their family's cabin out in Michigan, and so it's a very elaborate thing, and it took him many visits to do, but it was just funny because, you know, once again, I knew this kid literally the day he was born. And now I never thought of him as a tattoo guy.
Right.
But I don't know what that means. I don't think there used to be a kind of person.
It was always
who got a tattoo.
A guy in the Navy who would get one, and you go, well, you're in the Navy.
The hula dancer.
The
anchor.
Dancer, or the ironic mom on the upper arm.
Yeah. Or the keep on trucking guy.
Right. But then it was also like the people that were like on the fringe of society that did it to be different.
Or your headbangers.
Yeah.
So I was very surprised. And like I said, it looks good and he likes it and that's great. But I was just surprised because I was like, wow, okay, this is really getting into a mainstream kind of thing.
Right.
Where you start to see, and now, my gosh, if you walk around the streets,
almost everybody.
I almost feel so out of it.
For not having one.
But you know what? And I mean, with my Elton John affinity, I certainly do some cool Elton John thing.
Yeah.
Two things. I've got way too much body hair. If I did an Elton John tattoo, I would just have like my arm hair be the top of his head.
Get a tattoo of a human head and then
with
just
hair.
Make your hair.
Yeah. I could do that on several parts
that
of my
would
body.
Be
my back, my lower thigh.
Yeah.
But and then secondly, I just hate needles.
Yeah,
I don't know how.
No, I'm afraid of needles, too.
When I saw my godson, I mean, once again, looking at it and being impressed with the artwork is one thing, but my first question was, how the heck did you sit for that?
That have to
and
hurt.
And have those needles for that long? And he said he had to go to several different sittings because it was elaborate and it was, you know, had to be done over long periods of time, and I hate needles.
Yeah,
I can't even get a blood test. I freak out.
I'm the same way.
So to sit there and
it's inconceivable, isn't it? Yeah, so I would never do it.
I guess I just can't be tragically hip,
or find a new way to be tragically hip.
And like I said, or find that 4 inches somewhere in my body without hair.
Now, Kevin, our producer, has so many tattoos that he doesn't know how many, because I've asked him how many, and he's not sure because some run together. Like the end of one becomes the beginning of another.
Wow.
So he goes between 8 and 10. I'm not exactly sure how many. He pulls it off. He's a very clean cut guy.
Well, he's got the ponytail, though. He's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Kevin? Oh, I'm sorry.
Dan, you don't have any. Dan's filling in for Kevin.
I do not have any tattoos now.
Well, I thought because
Dan is filling in for Kevin, you have to have at least one. That's required.
Yeah, I thought. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, because Kevin works on my podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised because what's so funny about him? He's a perfect example. He's a very clean cut looking guy.
Extremely.
And, he dresses, I'm not trying to stereotype, but
right.
We grew up in a time when that image of who got a tattoo.
A guy like Kevin, if he walked into a tattoo parlor when we were kids,
right.
They would say, you're in the wrong
room.
Get
out. Yeah.
We don't serve your kind.
And I was shocked one time. He was wearing like a short sleeve shirt and I saw all these tattoos and I was like, he's got like the Chicago flag or something. I was just, very elaborate. And
so
once again, though, he and my godson are the same age. So there you go.
It's become a generational thing to buck the tradition. But I'm surprised it hasn't gone the other way of kids going, now everyone has one. I want to be different, so I'm not going to get any.
Well, what shocks me is this is a cultural kind of, touchstone. Once again, but it comes with pain.
Right.
So you have to make it's for a lifetime unless you want to get it removed.
Right.
But, so there's a lifetime involved and there's pain. Most of the other things, you buy a cool, weird shirt or a hat or a pair of gym shoes.
Yeah.
No pain involved there.
Right.
So you're making a commitment.
This is a big commitment.
On this.
It is.
And so that's what shocks me is that many people have got into this fad because pain is involved.
Right.
And we mostly move away from pain. We don't pay money.
As a rule.
Yeah.
So for people who have jumped on this. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're getting some calls at 312-981-7200. We'll take those. And then if we have time, I will get to the story about one of my daughters and her tattoo and what went on behind the scenes there.
Do your kids have any ink?
One of my daughters, Kylie, does have one. And I'll tell you the story of how I didn't want her to get it and then how she changed my mind.
Oh.
It's actually pretty cool.
So look at you.
Yeah.
A father of the millennium.
Yeah, I was so against it. All right, we'll get to that next. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill F. and Jim Toronto in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's me, Bill F., filling in for myself. And then Jim Toronto is filling in for Wendy. Everybody will be back in place on Wednesday.
So tomorrow, neither of you.
Neither of us will be in tomorrow.
Today, just you.
You're
last
not in
week,
tomorrow.
You were gone.
Right.
I won't be back for months.
Oh, don't say that, Jim. Don't say that. All right. So we're talking about a couple of things. Number one, this woman who put a picture out on the internet of her daughter, her 6-month-old daughter, with a jewel in her face, a diamond in her face,
and
which she photoshopped.
And so basically she was being, just ripped into for, abusing and...
Yeah, you don't do this to a 6-month-old without their consent, but as you pointed out...
How does she... Yeah, what, is she going to scribble?
A 6-month-old, not much on consent.
Yeah.
I was also discussing gauges, and I think it's Pat who has something they wanted to add. Pat, how are you?
Good, thank you.
There you are. What do you know about these gauges, Pat?
Well, I heard a very interesting story on James Corden's show the other night. It was a news story that a woman was brought to the emergency room, I believe in California.
Mm-hmm.
She had a gauged earlobe, and her pet snake got caught in it.
Oh, that's not pleasant for anybody.
Oh,
that would be the worst.
How big was the hole?
The holes get, the one I saw was about 3 inches in diameter, but they can get even bigger than that.
So the skin expands that much?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Did that give you nightmares, Pat? I would not have been able to sleep after hearing that. Were you okay?
I was okay. I'm a nurse. So
you've seen a couple things.
I've seen it all.
Yeah.
I could imagine. I mean, a little hole in the ear is nothing to you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, that's crazy.
It's like a vacation for her.
Right.
Oh, you mean someone just has a gauged ear blow?
I can take care of that.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah,
Pat, thank you so much.
Have a snake hanging out of it.
Yeah. That, although that would be a nice surprise. Thank you so much. Thank you. She'll be back on Wednesday. All right. Take care.
Okay.
And then after she saw that with James Corden, then he just did some car karaoke and she forgot all of it.
Everything was fine again. Everything was fine. All right. So years ago, my daughter Kylie, who had not talked about getting a tattoo, had a horrible thing happen. One of her best friends died in an accident. A friend she was very close to, a guy that was a really nice guy. And she said to my wife and I want to have a tattoo with his name to remember him.
How old was she?
15.
Oh, wow. 15.
Yeah.
So that's just tough on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I said to her, let's not do this right away. Let's give it a week or 2 weeks to think about it. Because I needed to think about it, and I wanted her to think about it a little bit.
Because this is for life.
It is for life. So I said to her, do me a favor. I go, as much as he meant to you, don't have his name put on your body, because at some point you're going to meet somebody and want to get married. And if I was a guy and a woman had somebody else's name tattooed on their body, even though it wasn't a love relationship or anything like that, it was a friendship, it might disturb me to every time I saw her wrist or her arm or whatever, I would see somebody else's name. So she goes, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So I thought we were out of the woods. So then a couple days later.
But this is parenthood.
This is parenthood. You're never out of the woods.
Exactly.
The woods are vast.
Yeah. There's no way it's a maze. It's that maze you were talking
the
about.
The woods go on for a long time, Jim. So I was playing tennis, and at the end of a match, I picked up my phone, and I noticed I had 14 phone calls that I had missed in a very short span of time.
I mean, you're a popular guy, but not that popular.
I'm 11 popular. I'm not 14 popular.
Yeah, that's a little excessive.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is an emergency.
Something bad has happened.
11 you could deal with.
So the messages played out. They were all short messages, but they played out like a storyline, and some of them were for my daughter, and some were for my wife, and it went along the lines of, hey, I really thought about it, and you were right about his name, but I have a better idea. Click. And then the next one is, you really need to call me quick, because there's something I want to do, and I want to do it now. Click. And then it's one from my wife saying, hey, I don't know what's going on, but you better call quick, because you're not going to like what you're hearing. Click. Like that.
Ooh.
14 of those. So by the time we got to 14, the deed had been done. She convinced my wife to take her to someplace. Now, because she's 15, they won't just put a tattoo on you. You have to have parental consent. I was not available, so my wife gave into this. She had an anchor put on her wrist because her friend was, as she said, my anchor, and I've lost my anchor, and now every time I look down, I will be reminded of that. And when she told me that, as much as against it as I was, and I was very against it.
And this was how many years ago?
This was 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Okay, so the tattoo craze was beginning, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is
now. No, it was already kind of in full motion.
Was it? Okay.
But I didn't think it'd be an issue with either one of them. Neither of my daughters seemed like they were the tattoo types.
Right.
But the way she worded it was so perfect. And I kind of went, boy, if it helps her get over this, then it's a plus for her.
And it's not the name.
It's a more poetic way.
And it's a subtle thing that she can just look at if she wants to.
Right.
If she gets, meets a boy, man, and gets married. She doesn't have to even necessarily say that it what it is.
I think she's the type of person
who would
be honest enough to say
it's about a friend.
I lost a friend early on, and I needed this to help me cope with
but
it.
But that guy wouldn't see a name,
right? Because that don't you think if you were a guy moving into that relationship, it'd be tough to see a name or an initial.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
That would have been tough.
Now, were you more about the protectiveness of being a father? Of just your normal protection reflex of your daughter.
Of her marking up her body permanently.
Or
like that.
Were you thinking about this other bigger, possibility down the road?
A little bit of both, but the other thing was, and I've said this on the show before, Wendy has one tattoo and she's the only person I know who has one. A lot of people I know who get one go, this is the start of something.
Then they jump into the
water.
Let's
keep going.
Yeah.
And I was of the belief, because years ago, if you had too many tattoos, it could cost you a job. I don't think that's the case anymore.
No.
At all.
In fact, I mean, you don't even, I'm sure 5 years ago it may have. But once again, the person interviewing you has 10.
Right.
So why would they discriminate? Once again, before it was a minority. It was an oddity.
Right.
And as I walk around just in normal everyday life, you just look at people and whether they're, a barista who's supposed to have them or a CEO.
Right.
I'm telling my kids to get tattoos to help them get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Believe me, I might go in after this.
There was someone, I was working for an ad agency for a short amount of time, and somebody very high up had a cobra on their neck. And I went, wow. I think there was a time where during the interview they'd go, you're going to get rid of this, right? This is the cobra
on
your neck.
I don't think that is, as I said, I think in 5 or 10 years, if you don't have one, you will be in the minority.
Right.
And once again, it's not a, and I mean, first of all, look at most of the CEOs today in tech companies or the cool company. They have to have one or they wouldn't be the cool CEO. So, you know, how can anyone be judged on having that? It's really funny the way that was a thing that was a risque. It was when we were growing up, if you smoked, it was kind of a, he smokes.
Yeah, dangerous.
And the tattoo was even 5 levels past the smoking.
Yeah, very rebellious.
And now it's amazing when you see, and look at, how many times do you see people before? People would try to strategically put them.
Right.
But now.
So you could cover it up if you needed
to. Doesn't matter.
Right. But I always thought, remember how on Family Ties, it was the parents that were the hippies and they had kids that were more straight-laced.
Right. Like Michael J. Fox.
I always wonder, like, are we headed towards that at all or not?
We are in such an odd space right now. I mean, there is so much about personal expression.
Yeah, right.
That those old rules and those old biases are gone. I saw an interesting article in the Tribune, real quickly. Chris Thomas wrote this, or Chris Jones, the theater critic. In 1950, they did a survey of, they asked the average person, do you feel you are important?
Yeah.
You personally.
Yeah.
12% of the people said they felt that they were important.
What is it today?
85.
Oh, no. Really?
That is how self-absorbed we are.
So what created that? What made everybody believe
I think there's over the last 25, 30 years, there's been a lot of parenting about self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I certainly think the internet has allowed everybody to be anonymous, everybody to have their say, everybody to say, you know, that this, even the story that kicked this off, you know, a woman photoshops, just makes a little, and everybody jumps right in, assumes she's a horrible, everybody's got an opinion.
Right.
Everybody's a critic.
Right.
I mean, it's, we all have to express ourselves.
That's what it's become. Steve, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. And then Jim Toronto, our friend Jim Toronto, sitting in for Wendy. Both Wendy and I will be back in our regular places on Wednesday. We'll do 10 to noon, and then we'll do the bonus hour from noon to 1.
So no bonus hour today.
There will be no bonus hour today.
I was on your bonus hour one time.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. It's really, you know, for people who have not heard it yet, it's kind of like this, except there's no rules. It's like Outback Steakhouse. it's no rules, Jim. It's just right. I can't explain why it's so different. I think it's because both Wendy and I are convinced that it's not being broadcast anywhere. It's just in the room.
They're all laughing in the offices.
Right.
Look at them walking in there again.
Right.
They think anybody's hearing it.
And people have called up, but I'm almost sure it's just the same guy who's in the next room listening in.
It's Ben the engineer.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. So whatever. But it's fun. It's the bonus hour from noon to one. And then Steve does a legitimate broadcast. He does the Wintrust Business Lunch.
That's like a real show.
That's a real show with real guests. And so it's an alternative to real radio is what it is. Yeah. Now, you have alerted me to something. I've been gone for people
who don't know.
I was gone for a week.
Okay, you left on what day?
Wednesday morning.
Okay.
Very early.
You make it sound like you were gone for a year.
Well, so many things happened. I was in
You were in like the deepest part of Africa.
I was
where there was no outside world, no cell towers.
Maine is so isolated.
Is it real?
You can't believe how isolated it is. Can I tell you how isolated Maine is? I'll prove my point right here. The governor of Maine is completely out of his mind.
Not saying much.
He's insane. He does things that are crazy. He says things that are crazy. And when you ask people who live in Maine about him, like you go, how about your governor? Yeah. They go, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
what's up with the governor? And then you have to explain to them what's going on. And they'll go, this is the first I'm hearing of it.
Really?
And they live there.
Right.
And they don't know that.
It is far up.
It's far up.
It is far up.
Yeah.
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 Well, anyway, what I was interested to see, I used to work as my first job was at Jewel.
What did you do at Jewel?
I started as a bagger.
Mm-hmm.
I excelled so well.
You were a good bagger.
I was a very good bagger. I'm still proud of my bagging skills.
Is it? It's like a Tetris. It's knowing what to fit where.
Yes, the art of it certainly. A lot of the art was lost. Initially in the early 80s with the introduction of the plastic bag. But now that the paper bag is coming back, the art of the good bag.
It's all in stacking.
Yes.
Stacking
you,
is
everything. You got your layer of cans.
Yeah.
You put your, or if you have no cans, you certainly start on your sides with your cereal boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your bread and eggs.
Always on top.
At the top. And then you can decide.
Marshmallows, too, by the way.
Yes. Tetris is a good analogy.
It's like bagging groceries is like Tetris.
So I started at Jewel. And I still shop at Jewel sometimes. So I've always, I was reading the paper. And so there is a lot of competition today in the grocery world. You've got your
Mariano's,
Waltz, your Fresh Times, your Pete's, your this, your that.
A&P.
Yeah.
They're still in business, right?
Are they really?
I think.
Butera is still around.
Yeah, Butera is still around.
Yeah.
Fresh Fields.
The Piggly Wiggly never made it big here.
They tried a couple Piggly Wigglies.
But you hear about that around the country.
In the South.
But the Piggly Wiggly never made it big. But anyway, so I see this in an effort, I guess, to draw in more people and to draw in kids, which are always a key because they will get mom and dad to buy things that they might not buy regularly.
Right.
Jewel has come up with a mascot. And I was like, I get it to some extent.
Jewel Food Stores has a mascot.
Jewel Food Stores, yeah. So I'm reading this, and I had to laugh because, first of all, his name is JoJo. Because Jewel Osco.
Oh.
So you've got Jewel with the J and O with the Osco. So it's Joe.
All right, that makes
sense.
So
JoJo. So that's kind of a, an androgynous name.
I always thought, the pop singer Jewel?
Yeah.
I thought she should marry a guy whose last name is Osco and take that as her own last name.
Or at least.
Her professional name would be Jewel
Osco.
Or go
on tour with somebody like Osco, or even Oscar. The Jewel Oscar tour.
That would be great. So what does JoJo look like and what are his duties?
Well, I guess JoJo is going to start appearing at stores and do things in the parking lot and do...
That sounds scary.
But not only is that idea scary, he's a cyclops, or she.
Why?
It. I don't know.
Can I guess why? Because maybe as you're shopping... Oh, no, a cyclops doesn't have extra... Does a cyclops have extra tentacles, or am I thinking of a... Well, that's a squid or an octopus.
One eye. The cyclops has one eye. So here's JoJo. He's got this big smile, but this one giant eye.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And he's orange-ish because the Jewel...
Their logo is orange.
So I get what they're going for. Mm. I wonder if that is going to, A, be something that will draw in a kid, because... The mascot world can fall one way or the other. The mascot could be endearing or scary as hell.
Yeah.
And it's like a clown.
Right.
And so
right.
I'm surprised if you're going to get kids. I understand in today's world, gross is okay. Everybody's into zombies.
Right, sure.
But the idea of a cyclops, there's the picture.
What did they reject? All right, Jim has shown me the picture, and in my head I envisioned it to be frightening, but not as frightening as the picture.
It's kind of scary because he's got a smile, which makes that eye even scarier.
Can I tell you what it looks like to me, honestly? It looks like one of the minions, but one of the minions that didn't go right for this minion.
Yeah, here's the other side of the coin though. Everybody gave. Remember when a few years ago when the Cubs put out Clark?
Yeah.
Okay.
A mascot with no pants.
Yeah. Everybody gave him a thumbs down because he looked so wholesome.
Right.
He was just your overly average.
Friendly.
Yeah. Way too. It was a bear. There was nothing frightening or anything that intimidating about
him.
He looked like Ward Cleaver.
Right.
So,
but except he didn't have pants on, which
is all
that's questionable.
Well, that was a little risque. Maybe they were going for that.
If you got a mascot, pants, I would think.
I mean,
would
even
be a
Marla Collins wore pants. They were short,
right?
But they were still pants,
right?
But so I guess so where do you go if you're gonna do a mask? Remember the socks? They still have Ribby and
Ribby
Rhubarb.
And Rhubarb. They hated each other. Oh wait, I'm thinking of Eric and Kathy. I'm sorry. I'm totally thinking.
Heard Ribby hasn't been back in 7 weeks.
Right. It's disturbing.
Yeah. So just Rhubarb is doing it. But apparently no one cares.
Nobody meant it.
Doesn't
matter.
Everybody loves Rhubarb just by himself.
I'm
not
now,
a bad, not a, not a good move by Ritter.
No, maybe not. I am afraid to go to Jewel now because I'm afraid that the Cyclops will attack me while I'm in the notions department.
Yeah, when you're looking for a nice stalk of broccoli, do you want to look up and see a Cyclops?
No.
You know, and not only that, but when you're out there maybe trying to sneak a grape, and there's a Cyclops looking at you.
Maybe that's why, because it's their way of saying to potential shoplifters,
maybe there's a camera.
We have an eye on you, and this is the eye, and they just show you. The Cyclops.
I mean, I can't see wearing a JoJo T-shirt.
No,
I don't want a. No. I don't want a picture with JoJo.
No,
JoJo is scary to me.
Now, will there be one JoJo per Jewel, or will there be one that just has the whole area?
Yeah, I don't think every Jewel gets their own JoJo.
That's for the best.
But it's I understand the concept. They're trying to find a way because once again, this has become a very competitive. For a while there was Jewel and Dominic's here in Chicago,
right.
And that was it. And there were some, there were some Viteras,
right?
They're smaller type of Centrellas,
but no major, right?
You were either a Jewel. It was like you're a Sox fan or a Cub fan.
Right.
You're a Jewel or you're a Dominic.
Right. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of the way the city was split. We always seem to segregate here. You're one or the other.
It's like a quarterback controversy, but with grocery stores.
Yeah, and if you went to Butera, you never told anyone.
Right. Right.
And then you secretly found out that someone went and you're like, do you go to Butera too?
Right.
Isn't it nice? But you didn't want to say it out loud.
My family only shopped at Treasure Island because we liked that the Checkers would always dress like the characters from the novel. That's the only reason we went to Treasure Island. But there was also there's a whole bunch of little miniature Potash Brothers had two or three stores.
Right. There was just small little chains.
Yeah.
But I mean, but when you're talking about the major leagues,
Jewel or Dominic.
Yeah. So now the landscape is certainly filled up. And I mean, I'm not giving any plugs, but in my neighborhood, a new Fresh Time opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've been there two or three times already.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been a Jewel stalwart since I worked there.
Right. Right.
So, everybody, you sort of get tempted.
Yeah.
And so I could see what they're doing. They want to get the kids in. They want to, create a little buzz. But for a grocery store, I don't think being scary and hip.
That's not the way to play it.
Is the way to play it, even though I am so against, wholesome-y kind of stuff. I like something with an edge. But yet even this for a grocery store is a little too edgy for me.
Seems too far off.
Yeah.
What did they reject before they went with a Cyclops? What were the ones that were submitted?
I believe there was a giant zucchini. Zuzu
the zucchini
Zuzu
got rejected.
Zucchini. Yeah,
right?
And then there was a big, a giant salami. They were worried by the deli section.
No.
There were way too many jokes that could have been told about that.
Yep. Yeah.
And then I understand there was. I wish I had a list of these. You should have told me you're going to ask me.
I'm sorry. I'm just curious.
I have no idea what they were going. I mean, the JoJo thing. I mean, what I love about this is the same thing. This to me. Smacks of the same thing that happened, and I talked about this on my podcast several months ago, our new license plates here in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Worst license plates I've ever seen. Have you seen the new ones?
I don't know
with
that
the
I've seen
half Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that.
The half Lincoln and the white silhouette of a silo. And, it's like this was clearly they didn't use an outside designer because they wanted to save money. And so they
was this a contest where kids submitted?
No, this was within the Secretary of State's office, and you could tell that they had a meeting, and everybody kind of said, we have to have Lincoln.
Right.
Okay, we'll put a Lincoln in.
Right.
And we have to have, let's not just be all Chicago, so we'll have the skyline, but let's have a silo.
Right.
And so they jammed everything Illinois onto this thing, so now it's just a mishmash of nothing. Abe Lincoln, if you look, these aren't even, the Abe Lincoln is a half silhouette.
Yeah.
And if you look at the new ones, the new plates are coming out with the A's.
Yeah.
The A is buried in Lincoln. You can't even tell if it's an A. The whole idea is for the police to be able, or you as a citizen say, hey, that car just robbed me.
Right.
I won't be able to see because half the letters are going to be lost in Abe Lincoln's coat.
No.
So this smacks me of, they sat around and said, okay, what can we do? They didn't like Zuzu the Zucchini.
Right.
So someone said, zombies are cool.
Right.
Kids love zombies. Okay, well, we can't have melting flesh in a grocery store.
Right.
So let's have a Cyclops.
So it's a compromise. They found something that's dangerous, just dangerous enough to interest kids. Although, Disney World. Is any kid going there in hopes of meeting a mascot?
That's my point.
I don't think so.
I don't want to say, can we go to Jewel because I need a picture with JoJo?
Right.
I get what they want to do, but, how about lowering the prices and making the aisles wider?
Right.
That might bring me into the store.
That's a start. All right. We'll discuss this in other topics. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. You know how to reach us, right? 312-981-7200.
You don't like Zuzu?
I do, but not for this. For something, but I'm not sure what. We'll figure it out. 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. It's Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. All right, it is me, Bill F. Wendy is taking the day off, well-deserved day off. She'll be back on Wednesday. She and I will be working together on Wednesday. Jim Toronto, our friend Jim Toronto, joins us.
Thank you so much for inviting
me. Jim, always a thrill, always a pleasure to have you in. We're talking about the new mascot for Jewel Food Stores. Both of us slightly perplexed at this decision.
This is JoJo.
But who knows? This could be the biggest thing in the world for Jewel.
Well, once again, this is not aimed at us.
I don't think
that's
it
what's
is.
So funny is
I
that
I don't think so.
I'm always commenting on things. It's like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's not aimed at you. You shouldn't think it's cool.
Except, let's go back a little bit and think about this. If you're a parent and you're taking your child grocery shopping with you, do you say to the child, it's up to you, do you want to go to Mariano's? Do you want to go to Walt's? Do you want to go to Jewel? Will this be enough for a kid to say, oh, Jewel, I want to see this mascot? Kids years ago with Happy Meals, all of a sudden, if you left it up to your kid, where are we going to have lunch? Yeah. Well, we got to go to McDonald's because we get a toy with our food.
That is true. But, I mean, a lot of times the kid, as you know, will regardless of what you think.
This would make, if I was a child and we went into Jewel and this thing came near me, I would scream bloody murder.
No, during the break we were talking because I'm trying to think. He does remind me, I don't go to a lot of the animated, but isn't there like from Monsters,
Monsters Inc.?
Isn't there like a Cyclops?
There is, yeah. The monster that Billy Crystal plays.
So maybe that was kind of the thought process. It's like, hey, Monsters Inc. is one of the most popular kids animated movies. So if there's a Cyclops in that.
I got to look him up to see. I think he only has one eye.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Sandy Duncan.
Oh, wow. And you're talking about me calling Elaine Joyce a bimbo, and you're making fun of Sandy Duncan's
eye. I'm paying tribute to Sandy Duncan's eye.
Would you like coffee or cream in your eye?
All right. So how do we find him? How do we know what his schedule is, which Jewel he'll be attending?
I mean, for all you know, they probably are.
He probably tweets.
You know he's got a Facebook page. Yeah. He's got a Twitter thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And he also hates fake news.
Does he?
And Mika.
Low IQ Mika is JoJo.
And Psycho Joe.
Oh, yeah, that's hate to
I
hear
heard
that.
JoJo says, I hate Psycho Joe. That. He stole my name.
That's crazy. Let's go to Peter. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Friday, when I was trying to beat the tax potential on soda.
Yeah.
I went into the local Jewel and they already had a five and a half foot tall cutout of JoJo.
They did.
Wow.
With the eye, or maybe it was the whole face. I'm not certain about the smile or not. Cut out. So this was one of these stick your head through, take a picture thing.
Oh, wow. like when you put your head in?
Yeah.
The thing at the fair?
You become JoJo.
Oh.
Wow.
Jeez.
And
was there a long line for that?
Nobody.
Nobody was in line for that.
Nobody. I looked at it and just got my cart and kept going.
Yeah.
But he looks to be like he's covered with reddish, orange.
Well, that's the Jewel. The Jewel colors are orange.
Color, yeah. Orange Muppet fur. So he's kind of like an egg-shaped 5 foot tall Muppet thing with a Cyclops.
Makes sense when you talk about it, Peter.
I guess this is how they're introducing him to keep the kids from getting too scared. Here's a cutout. You can stick your face through. But have a funny picture.
Well, the fact that the kids might be afraid is right off the bat kind of a bad sign.
Yeah, and Jim, I think you had the right voice there a little bit ago. When you were doing kind of a Muppety voice.
That's how JoJo would talk?
Because it looks like a Muppet. It looks like a Cyclops Muppet.
I wonder if JoJo talks.
I don't know, but you did kind of a Muppet voice. A little.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
That does sound right.
I'm available for all JoJo appearances.
I have a feeling next time we call you to fill in, you'll be like, I can't come in. I'm at Jewel and Itasca.
Yeah, I'm JoJo today.
Right. Thank you so much, Peter.
I'm putting on my Cyclops mask. Yeah.
Thanks, Peter. Have a good fourth.
Hey, Roseanne.
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
I'll do my John Goodman as JoJo.
How would that sound?
Hey, Roseanne. Why don't you go to the produce section?
Perfect. Will, hi, you're on with me, and then Jim Toronto's here. What do you make of all this?
Pick up an aisle four.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. Trader Joe's has their own in-house line of cookies that are like Oreos.
Oh, they right? do, don't they? Yeah.
Yes, they do. And what are those called?
JoJo's. They are called JoJo's.
And they have a toucan bird, like Toucan Sam.
Yeah.
They have a toucan who is JoJo.
Does he have one eye or two?
That's a good question.
But anyway.
That's how they'll get around the copyright. Well, that guy only has one eye. We have to.
Actually, Trader Joe's essentially already has a mascot named JoJo.
Oh. Wow. Well, now we're going to have mascot wars. Oh, my gosh.
I never thought. Well, thank you.
That's a good idea.
I have a box of them sitting at home right now. I was enjoying some last night. And I'm like, wait a minute, JoJo? What do I know that
That's
from?
That's a crazy name. Wow. Well, thank
so,
you.
Yeah, if you look at the Trader Joe's cookies, you'll see they're called JoJo's, and the toucan is named JoJo.
Oh, is that funny?
It's all very confusing. Will, thank you so much. Have a good 4th of July.
Have a great day.
Take care. Of course, those of us stuck in the 70s, JoJo's had the greatest onion rings. Remember the restaurant?
Oh, the fast food place, JoJo's. Yeah, there was a chain for a while. Yeah.
They had these deep-fried batter onion rings. Oh,
look
JoJo's.
At you.
I'd love JoJo's.
You're getting all excited. Ryan, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Jim Toronto, and Kristen McQuarrie joins us right now from the Chicago Tribune. First of all, thank you for being here, Kristen. It's always fun to talk to you. Really appreciate this. There's a lot going on politically. Let's start with some of the political stories. Number one.
First, you can swallow whatever you're eating.
I'm having a mint.
Okay.
He's having a mint, so he has nice, fresh breath for you, Jim.
I never know when Jim's going to give me a smooch during the show, so I like my breath.
I do appreciate it. I've got some Trident for after the show.
This was a story that was breaking. I was on vacation last week, but as we were leaving on Wednesday, this was becoming a story, and I followed it a little bit, but I don't know all the ins and outs. So I know that Donald Trump is having a war with the hosts of Morning Joe on MSNBC, mm-hmm. Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. I don't know what caused it. I don't know why it escalated so quickly. I know he said some bad things about them. What exactly went on there?
Well, you summarized it pretty well. The president, you know, he's probably the most undisciplined person you could possibly meet. And he tweeted
she doesn't
something.
Know me.
Right. Let's go with the second most undisciplined
sorry.
Person.
Second You've most only, undisciplined just, person.
Right.
He felt like Morning Joe was being tough on him. So what is his reaction? He goes to Twitter. He talks about Mika, one of the hosts. Is it Mika or Micah?
I think it's Mika
Brzezinski.
At one point, wanting to come to Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve, but he didn't want her to come because she had a facelift and she was bleeding all over the place.
Part true? Did she have a facelift? Was she bleeding? Or is that just something he thought?
You know what? That was my first question, too. She had some work done, but no. She
did admit that she, on the other day when they made a comment, she did not admit now that she just had some chin work.
Yeah. She had some chin work, yeah. Right.
But he didn't say, you can't come to my Mar-a-Lago resort because your face is bleeding.
No,
right?
I guess he sort of did.
Oh,
or
did?
She claims that they never asked for an invitation, yeah. And who knows. And then it turned into this, of course, big deal where women were speaking out again because he can't seem to disagree with women or the show in particular without commenting on their appearance. So then it turned into a big thing. And I think today he did something on Twitter where he fake wrestles or punches out a CNN.
Well, that was from his wrestling days, and they photoshopped,
they photoshopped in it.
The CNN logo where a guy's face was. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, just another day in the USA. With this guy on Twitter.
Now, in the past, presidents have either been too busy or too important to bother with things like this, but this seems to be an everyday occurrence with him where he finds something or somebody and just goes off on them. Why?
You know,
why waste his time with that? Why waste any of our time with that?
I think two things. And one, we're not going to see change. I mean, he's been doing this since the campaign trail, saying crazy things. And he sees it, number one, as, you know, trying to get past the media filter and speaking directly to his people.
Yeah.
They love it. I mean, his base is actually more loyal to him now than they were when he was first inaugurated. So to him, it's a political win. Also, I just think he can't help himself.
Yeah.
He's a really immature, sophomoric person when he feels attacked. And so that's his way of getting back. And he did it again. And it's just silly.
In all these tweets, he always throws in these little brief asides where he'll mention, like, if he's mentioning the show, he'll mention that the ratings aren't good or they're going down, or that in this one, he says, can't watch it anymore or something like that.
He said the low rated.
Low rated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He always takes those little extra digs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just, it honestly seems like something a child would put, not the guy who's the most important person on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Worse. I mean, even my children, I teach them not to say things like that.
Yeah.
It does have legs, though, because now you have memes going out about, you know, retweet if you think CNN is unreliable. Retweet if you think CNN stinks and all this kind of, and it is kind of digging. CNN is having great ratings because of this. But
now,
you're
on MSNBC, right?
Yeah.
Like the CNN, was the guy that he was wrestling.
Yeah. Yes.
But
yes.
Morning Joe is MSNBC.
Morning Joe is MSNBC, which is a more left-leaning outlet.
Yeah.
I think MSNBC came about after Fox News was created.
Although Scarborough himself is a Republican and tended to go to the right, not so much with Trump.
But they have, I mean, they have been very, and they even, when they came on to do their kind of, you know, our comment on it, they did say, you know, we have been tough on him. They didn't shy away from it.
Right.
And there's you've been saying, Chris, there's some underlying thing between these. I don't know what it is, and no one wants to say it or it exists. But this isn't just about what's on the air. There's something behind the scenes here.
I think Trump thought they were all kind of his buddies.
Well, they were initially.
And they were.
They
you
were.
Know, I think a lot of media, especially in broadcast, they sort of like having that buddy persona with elected officials.
Well, if you think about it, he was always calling into their show
in the early
during
days
the election.
Of his campaign.
Exactly.
He was
so they liked
on.
It because he was getting them ratings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know.
I mean, they're not, you know, not to blame for some of this, too, in on the side trying to treat him as a friend and being friendly to him and like you're saying, taking calls and kind of lifting his profile during the campaign. Then when you find out maybe they were trying to get an invitation to, you know, he's going to he's going to bite back at the media. So
she was the first one I remember. A lot of people were thinking this, but nobody was saying this out loud. We need to be concerned with his mental stability.
Oh, like
everybody
was
saying
that,
but she has. Yeah, she was the one who was at the forefront of saying it out loud.
And like over the last several weeks, because I watched the Morning Joe quite a bit, he's been, you know, when Steve Bannon has taken a higher profile, he's been saying President Bannon.
Oh, has he really? Yeah.
So I mean, they've been
provoking.
They've been picking at him. Now, the funny thing is that she even said, "I'm surprised how easily he's played."
Oh,
which I found that an interesting comment because it almost sounds like they are admitting that they're playing him.
Right. Well, he's really thin-skinned. And if you look back, none of this should surprise us. You know, I feel like when the presidential campaign during the primary came down to, and I think it was an actual question during one of the debates, this, you know, Marco Rubio made fun of the size of Trump's hands.
Right.
As a we're talking about anatomy. And from that moment on, I thought it's going to be downhill from here.
Yeah.
And it has. It's just been really sophomoric. It's the only word I can think of that.
Is it legit? You mentioned that women's groups have taken special offense to this because of the things he has said about Mika Brzezinski. Without a doubt, he does focus on women's looks and sometimes their IQ, but he does do that with guys too.
He does. I mean, he
certainly not as much.
He certainly
but he
does. Made fun of Rubio, Rand Paul, Chris Christie. You know, he's just a shallow guy.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably across the board, male and female. But he does have this issue where if you're not he has to always comment on how women look, and you know, it's irritating.
Well, he did own the Miss Universe pageant.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. Right. Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah. We know about all of his. Yeah. He would stop in suddenly when they were changing into the bikini part.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Yep.
Here's a visit from our sponsor.
And Harry Truman never did that. Not even once. Come on. He must have done that once.
He was just rumored to be in Atlantic City. Right. We don't know if he actually went to the Miss America pageant.
Right. I don't know. know. I'll look it up for you,
see,
Bill.
See if you can find, because I'm pretty sure he must have.
He and Bert Parks are big buddies.
Right.
That has to be true. All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's a lot more to discuss with Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump in, we're easy to reach at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill Leff and Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. Eventually, they will sing the words "No Sugar Tonight."
You have to wait
and
a while.
This will all make sense.
I just sit through an ad, so I couldn't queue it up.
That's all right. We'll get to this later. Yeah. I'll call everybody personally and tell them this is the part of the song you want to hear where they sing "No Sugar Tonight." Kristen McQuarrie is here. She is joining Jim Toronto and myself. We're discussing a couple of things politically that are going on. Number one, the other day was supposed to be the day that there'd be a sugar tax applied to any sugary beverage in
Cook
County.
Could have played the Archies.
Could have also played Sugar Sugar. We could have. But there's been a stay of execution in this. What exactly happened, Kristen?
Yes, it sounds so dramatic when you say this.
Yeah,
stay of execution.
Stay of execution.
There is a challenge to the tax because the retailers who have to enforce it say it is unconstitutionally vague, because something, you know, you could get like a Frappuccino and that would not be taxed,
right,
but you couldn't get a Diet Coke and it would be taxed. The judge agreed. And so now they have, I think, 28 days to try to appeal her ruling and convince her that it is not unconstitutionally vague.
Yeah.
Tony Preckwinkle, the Cook County Board President, says this money is absolutely necessary to balance the budget. But it's interesting to me, we have an income tax being debated in Springfield of about 32% per year. Mm-hmm. But this is what is sort of waking people up is, wait, you're going to tax sugary beverages to the extent that they're going to tax them, which is, I don't usually buy just, you know, on the go one Diet Coke, but
right,
I'll buy a case,
yeah,
or two 12 packs. And the cost just on that, if you buy a case of Diet Coke, $4 extra.
It's a penny an ounce for every ounce of beverage.
Yes. So it's dramatic. It's noticeable. And that is just the tax that's going to Cook County. Soda is also taxed in the city.
Right.
Yeah.
So the city has a higher sales tax overall than at really any place else in the country.
How could JoJo,
the mascot, the mascot from mascot,
how could you have a sale on a 2 liter bottle of Coke or whatever for like for a dollar sometime?
Right.
How many ounces are in 2 liters? It's going to be $4 again.
Yeah.
Right.
They got to start at -7
to break even.
And I think Tony Preckwinkle thought this was going to be an easy sell because people would rather do this than have their property taxes raised or something else.
Oh, they'll still raise
and
the
you
property
could,
taxes.
Right, exactly. Oh, they find a way to nickel and dime you no matter what.
Yeah.
But it's the fact, I think, that it hits all, you know, supposedly it's for health benefits, but it hits Snapple, diet drinks, low-calorie beverages.
Right.
Feels a lot like they threw spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah.
are kind of.
But how is this unconstitutional? I mean, they're saying it's unconstitutional. I don't know if it violates the Mountain Dew process of law, but I had to look at
it. It doesn't seem.
Yeah, I like it. I like that you worked it in there.
I don't know if it's unconstitutional. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch, but it just seems like bad business.
It's a money grab.
It? Yeah, it is.
Because as you said, they're trying to cloak this in a health benefit.
Yeah. Right.
Part of it is there's something called SNAP, which is the welfare kind of.
Right. It's,
and that's exempt.
Right.
And so, as studies have shown, people with low income are people that consume a lot of pot.
Right, sure.
So they're not going to be they're not going to have that tax.
They're not going to be taxed.
So
correct,
how is this helping them from a health benefit?
Right. Well, the health benefit part is just it's so obvious that I think that's another reason people are upset. You can still get donuts.
Right.
And you can still, you know, buy all this other food that's really, really bad for you. To me, it's just another way that government is just trying to reach into your pocket and not have to make tougher decisions like reducing spending or not approving such generous labor agreements that far outpace the cost of living that now we're stuck with, or borrowing money to build new and shiny objects when we're struggling to pay day-to-day
bills. Why is a property tax this so sacrosanct? Why is it so that that's the one tax, you know, Daley never wanted to, we'd have to raise taxes. Yeah,
right.
But you borrowed out the yin-yang in order to have a balanced budget.
Yeah.
They don't want to touch that. Why is that? Is that because that number, you know, that gets mailed to your house and you see that number, or?
It's one of the most regressive taxes that government imposes on you is the property tax. And so in a lot of communities where you have a lower mortgage, you're paying almost double in property taxes now, and there's so many reasons for that. I'd have to come back. But the state has been so negligent in keeping up with the cost of schools, so the schools keep raising their levies and spending more and more money, and property taxes are taxing people out of their homes. It's a more offensive tax. I think that's what the politicians think. Whereas I think if you just raised it a little bit and it's a constant source of revenue, it would make more sense than let's raise cigarettes.
Right.
You know, those tended to be safer choices.
The vice tax.
The vice tax. But now we're seeing with sweetened beverage, it's not it's
because
not the
that
case.
Hits everybody's life.
Right.
Pretty much everybody. Not everybody, but almost everybody.
I mean, you know.
In Evanston, the thing that we have going is Northwestern keeps buying up more and more property. So every time Northwestern buys a building, which happens all the time, the tax base, the rest of us who do pay taxes because Northwestern doesn't have to pay any taxes, we have to absorb that.
Right.
So our taxes, which were already either the highest or the second highest in the state, keep going up and up and up. And they always send you that thing that you can appeal them.
Right.
Right.
And then you sit in a room and they laugh at you. They just go, yeah, we're going to make these lower. And then you leave the room and that's the end of it. It's obscene.
It is. You also have a really expensive school district in Evanston.
Yeah.
It's great. You have really good outcomes with kids. But I would wonder whether Evanston, given the stability of the community, whether do you really need to be spending $18,000 or $19,000 per kid?
Right.
Do you really need to be approving teacher contracts that, like I said, far outpace? All of that adds up. And so I think that's what we're seeing is sort of a pushback with property taxes in particular.
Do you think that, say this pop tax goes through, do you think this hurts Preckwinkle in terms of an election?
You know, maybe a little bit, but she's still a couple years out from having to run again. And it's not, as far as like offensive tax and spend policies go, she's been pretty good about keeping Cook County from spiraling out of
control. But a savvy opponent could play this against her.
That's what I mean.
A savvy opponent could just keep mentioning this over and over and over.
She raised the sales tax, though, last time around.
Yeah.
After she rolled it back.
And she ran against Todd Stroger when he raised it to 10%.
He raised it up.
And then she
lowered it. Then she raised it again. So, voters have short memories. I don't know that this is going to be.
I'm voting for JoJo the Jewel Master.
To your point, though, if I was running against her, I would
play that up like crazy.
I would just, I would have, in my commercials, I would have a Coke can next to me and a Pepsi. I mean, I'd be surrounded by cans and they would all be putting their fingers down at
I'm
Tony
voting
Frank
for D's Nuts.
D's Nuts is a great candidate.
Don't just D's Nuts.
Anything can happen.
Well, I'm so mad. I just got into pop. I've never drank pop.
What do you mean?
So like 4 months ago, I found Sprecher's grape soda, and now I have to spend, you know, 16 cents per bottle.
Oh, that is terrible for you, though.
I just had to co-sign a bank loan for Jim so he could buy a bottle of pop.
I just got into pop.
I never was really a pop drinker.
Yeah.
And then like 4 months ago, I discovered this great pop.
But that's what you
chose.
Good
timing.
Yes, I did.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Great pop.
Grape soda.
As goofy as the politics is here in Illinois, in New Jersey, it is equally as goofy.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Chris Christie and his day at the beach.
Oh, I love this story.
This is great.
I love this story. So they're having a budget fight, too. Same situation here almost with a Republican governor, a democratically controlled House, and he's fighting. Chris Christie is fighting on his way out the door, by the way. He's almost done being governor with the House Speaker. So they were fighting over a budget and something seems sort of workable, trying to do something with insurance. Because they couldn't come to an agreement, Chris Christie shut down state government.
Yeah.
That kicked in on Saturday. People were a little taken aback. Beaches were closed. State parks were closed. State workers were not really working. You couldn't renew your driver's license. And then wouldn't you know it, on the beachfront property that is part of, I guess, the governor's mansion. If you're governor, you get this beachfront property. Chris Christie is out there in his glory with his family yesterday, sitting on a beach chair. The beach is empty because it's closed.
Right.
But he and his family are getting to enjoy the beach. And of course, some helicopter got a perfect shot.
Perfect.
And then rather than just admit, yeah, this kind of looks bad, he doubles down and says, well, if you want to have it, then you be governor. You know, he does not
apologize. Answer.
Wrong answer. Just basically defends the fact that he got to have the beach to himself.
And he's usually more savvy than that.
Slightly more savvy. Not always, but
no,
slightly
but I
more.
Mean, you'd think that at this point, if you run for president, you got to be very you know, cognizant of the visuals.
Yeah.
And that's not a good visual.
No.
But especially, in many ways.
In many ways, especially him in a beach chair. Yeah. I saw it.
I'm not going to say all politicians. The poor beach but chair. There's a good share of politicians who believe that the rules they create don't apply to them.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is a perfect example of this.
Perfect example of that. Yeah. He, I think also he only has a few more months to the end of his term. The presidential campaign thing didn't work out. So he's just kind of letting loose. Yeah. He's just saying whatever.
But just sit on the deck. Right. Don't go on the beach.
Right.
Don't go on the beach. That's the key.
The deck was beautiful. Yeah. The deck is gorgeous. They could have just—he could have gone out and flipped some burgers on the deck.
10 feet.
Exactly. No, he's in a chair.
Right.
The beach is empty except for maybe 20 members of his family, and they're playing paddleball, enjoying. He's in a baseball cap, and at first he lied about it too. The reporter said, "Oh, did you get some sun yesterday?" And he said, "No, I didn't get any sun." Then when the photos came out, his staff said, well, he meant he didn't get any sun because he was wearing a cap.
Yeah.
I mean, this is bad.
Well played, Mr. Christie.
Yeah.
We don't have a whole lot of time for this, and this is a topic we could discuss forever, but are we any closer on a budget, or is that just a thing of the past? Is there going to be an Illinois state budget, or is that just impossible?
Well, as we speak, the Illinois Senate is coming in. They are supposed to sign off on what the Illinois House did yesterday, which is a budget that includes a tax hike. I think they will probably approve it and send it off to the governor. The governor has already said he will veto it.
Yeah.
So they either come back and try to override his veto, or we just witness further collapse and we get downgraded. And we'll know all of this within probably the next 24 to 48
and
hours.
And once we do get downgraded, what exactly does that mean? I kind of understand it, but I'm not in full understanding. Let's say we're downgraded, and that's probably what's going to happen. What does that mean?
It means the markets are closed to us. It means that finally someone has said, we're not extending any more money to you. So all the times that Illinois goes into the bond market, which is a lot.
Yeah.
We don't realize it, but maybe every 6 weeks, every 2 months, Illinois sells bonds for something, for a project we approved 2 years ago, for money to make day-to-day operations work. We borrow money a lot, and the markets would say, you're too much of a risk.
Wow.
So it really kind of tightens
the options. Has that happened to us before?
No, it's happened to no state in the history of the United States.
We're number one.
We're number one.
We're number one.
That's how bad we are.
We're number one. Land of Lincoln.
Yep. No other state has ever been downgraded to junk bond status.
That should be, we were talking about the new Illinois state license plates and what should be on them. It should just be a guy with his pockets empty, just looking towards the camera.
No, Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry?
Right. That's what it should be.
Oh, so many options there.
Yeah.
I have to think about that.
Kristen, thank you so much.
Thanks
always
for having
fun
me.
To talk to you. Kristen McQuarrie of the Chicago Tribune.